right. It's my voice is higher than yours today. That never happens.
All right. Yesterday, if you're keeping score, you were quite under the weather.
I'm thinking it's allergies. I had no voice. It kept going out, and by the end of the day, it was cracking more than yours usually does.
Correct. And Kevin was so sick. Kevin, our producer, was so sick that he had to go home halfway through the show. He was not doing well at all.
Neither was his cat.
Right.
This transferred to Chicken the cat.
Maybe this is all his fault.
This does seem like a cat virus that
we
all of us
have. We have cat scratch fever. Get Ted Nugent on the phone. He's the only one who has the cure.
I coughed up a furball first thing this morning. I've never done that before.
You sound incredibly sexy.
Also, speaking of cats, you know what I've done twice? I've run out of a room for no reason at all. I've just been in a room. I just ran out of the room. I wonder if it is cat-like.
We could drop you from the 12th floor and you'd land on your feet.
Right. Let's do that. I'm fine with that. I'm sure this will be fine within minutes. I'm positive.
Do you feel crappy? Because I didn't really feel bad yesterday. It settled in my throat and my lungs and my nose.
It hurts, just like swallowing hurts a lot, you know?
And tell
me
about it.
I was fine yesterday. I couldn't have been better yesterday. It just happened like late last night into this morning. And
that's how it happened with me.
Here's the worst part of it for me. Everybody says that the best thing if you have a sore throat is tea of some sort, hot tea with lemon in it or ginger in it, honey, mm-hmm. right? I don't like tea right off the bat. I don't like it. And second of all, caffeine and even non-caffeinated tea makes me so jittery. It's like sugar times 10. I don't know what's in caffeine, but it affects me like, I guess caffeine is in caffeine.
Right, but even the caffeine-free has a little bit of caffeine in it. And
you're
if you're sensitive to it.
It puts me on a roller coaster, even just the smallest bit of caffeine. So I have to be very careful. And I even said to them, there's an Argo tea place here in the building. And I said to them, I have a sore throat. What can I take without caffeine? And they said, everything we have has caffeine. There's no non-caffeinated tea here. So I said, give me the least you have. And I told her, and she goes, yeah, it's still, if it affects you, it's still going to affect. And it does. I mean, I vibrate just from a little bit of tea.
Move a little closer to me, will you?
How about that? All right.
The good news is you don't have ADHD, because when I have caffeine, since I have ADHD, it chills me out.
Does it really? Why would it do that?
Because there are neurons in your brain and electrical impulses that aren't firing, and a stimulant helps trigger that. And I could have 5 cups of coffee and go to sleep.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Huh. That's curious.
And certain people are very overly sensitive to caffeine. Would that be you?
Yeah.
Because you don't usually have it.
I hardly ever have it. It's so rare that I have it. Only when I have a sore throat do I. I mean, I don't know how tea became such. Tea and coffee, for the most part, how they became like the official drinks of everyone on the planet Earth.
Because of the caffeine to get you going in the morning.
Is that what it is? But I wish I had just the ability to just make it get me going. It doesn't. It makes me
nervous.
It's
nervous,
not
Nelly.
Even nerves. It's just I am vibrating just from a little. I'm just like I'm a blur. If you took a picture of me right now, I'd be out of focus.
Oh, that's sorry for you, but it'd be kind of fun for us to watch.
He's doing jazz hands like all morning since he had the tea.
It's gonna be a fun day.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, you did all the heavy lifting yesterday because I truly couldn't talk. I wanted to interview Paul Reiser and I couldn't talk.
I know.
And then by the time Kareem Abdul-Jabbar came on, the phone was so bad he wouldn't have heard me anyway.
I know. Well, today it's mostly on you.
All right.
I do want to ask Steve. Steve was gone for a couple of days dropping Noah off at school.
Child number two away at college. How's it going?
You know, it's he's got a great roommate, Jesse, Lake Zurich High School, I think. So they're
So they knew. Did they know each other prior to the rooming?
No.
Oh,
they met each other online last winter and hung out.
That's
went
awesome.
That's standard, by the way,
now.
Is it really?
Yeah, that's more times than not. That's how it's done now.
You know, they weren't assigned. Like, there are different Facebook pages, and you just kind of find someone who, and they great family. So, I mean, I feel really good about him. He's at Miami, Ohio. I'm not worried about him at all, but, man, the house is big.
Is it?
I mean, you know, and I know everyone else goes through it. It's not unique, but you just come home, and now Sharon and I, you know, for 20 years, we've been raising kids in the house.
The thing that I talked about last week where you just walk around and like everything in your house, I know you go through this too and your boys aren't away yet, everything reminds you of something. Yeah. Remember the time they did this? Remember the time they went through that? Remember the time, you know, and that it we should be better equipped to handle it. And some people are. But this has been a rough couple of weeks for me emotionally because of that.
I mean, I go down to the basement now where Noel hangs out, and I'm just going to throw empty soda cans and food wrappers just to feel better.
Terry did say, and it's true, our house has been so clean the past couple of days. Like, if we put something away, it stays put away. And also, our laundry has gone down to a quarter of what it normally is.
Yeah, you know, I really do like my birdies in the nest, but I'm almost looking forward to having some time with Jimmy Mack again.
Yeah. 'Cause
I was pregnant on our first anniversary. So we didn't have a lot of time. I mean, we dated for several years before we got married, but it was like, you know, we had our wedding at the Marriott in Oak Brook, and they give you a room for free a year later for your anniversary.
Oh, that's nice.
And we went out to dinner, and I was pretty pregnant, and we watched SNL.
Oh.
So, you know, I'm looking forward to, I miss Jim.
Yeah.
Because my priorities have been on the kids. He did find his wallet and keys, by the way. People have been asking.
Where were they? Because this was a 3 or 4 day process, right?
He lost them Monday night. He found them yesterday. He texted me a picture of both of them. And I was getting worried because the keys were missing. The wallet was missing. Hey, here's our address. Come right in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we knew they had to be in the house because he drove home from getting school supplies at Walgreens.
Yeah.
So he had to pay for it, and he needed the keys to get in the house.
Right.
They're sometimes, with two boys, teenage boys, they change t-shirts a couple times a day. And so there's a pile in our dining room that gets ready to go down to the basement.
Yeah.
And, I guess his hoodie that had the keys and wallet in the pocket was in that pile, and it was taken downstairs to the basement.
It.
And that's where it was.
Problem solved.
So happy. So happy with that.
I give you credit because I think a lot of people in your position would have canceled the credit cards, but you knew that they had to be somewhere on the premises. They had to be.
Well, Jim assured me of that, and see, that's what's weird. If it was my wallet and keys, I wouldn't have stopped looking for them.
Right.
I would have called in sick.
I know.
He works from home, so did you find them yet? No, I'm sure they'll turn up. I'm like, are you not? He really knew they were in the house somewhere.
You do get that gut instinct, and in his case, I mean, there's
no
way to have driven the car,
there's
no way to have gotten in the house, so it's a little easier to rest on the fact that they'll show up.
And they were both together, that's what tipped him off, because if one was missing, you don't know if you dropped it out of your pocket.
Right.
But the fact that the keys in the wallet, which guys have in their hands and they put it somewhere,
right.
I'm telling you, I bought a little tray to put your wallet in all the time.
That doesn't
There's
matter.
A little thing to hang your keys by the
right.
front door. Usually my keys are hanging there, and then I can't find them in my purse.
We have a thing by our back door that has four hooks, and the goal when we purchased it was there's four of us in the family. There's four hooks. Each of us will put our keys on that hook.
How many keys are hanging there now?
I've never seen a key on any of the four hooks.
Not even one hook?
Nope. Nope.
Good golly.
And we keep it there in case, by some accident, the keys just happen to fall on the hooks. But there's never been a single time that there's been a key on any one of those four hooks.
I was so excited to buy the key hanging hook, too,
right.
because when we first moved into the house 18 years ago, it's a Victorian house, so I bought like a skeleton key hanger, and that was like the first thing I hung up.
Right.
And really,
no one
uses it that much.
I know. That's how it is.
I hope you feel better. Do you, you know, you have a sore throat?
I'll be fine.
You can sit back and put the cruise control
on
today.
I'll be fine. No, believe me.
All right.
I'll be fine. Everybody's going to be fine. A quick break and then a lot more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Speaking of baseball, Dave Ennett asked me an interesting question off air. He said, which do you think will happen first? Kevin's wedding. Kevin's getting married in, I think, 28 days, Kevin? Is that
I believe that's it, yeah.
All right, so Kevin's getting married in 28 days, or the Cubs clinching the division, which will happen first?
What's
good
the magic
question.
Number?
23. Does that sound right?
I don't know.
I want to say 23.
You know, that would be really something because finding hotels for the hotel. For the wedding was tough because the Cubs are hosting St. Louis that same day. What if they were to clinch against St. Louis? That would be.
Then there are two people that. No, I'll still go to your wedding.
He'd
I don't
still go.
Again, I'm a Sox fan. Why? I don't know.
I'm trying to think if Kevin, and I don't have the schedule in front of me, but if it's a pivotal game and it's during your wedding reception, Would you have the game on for people who really want to see the game?
You know, my family are full of Cubs fans, and that's going to be, I don't think there are TVs there at all. That's going to be tough. I went to a wedding.
Blackhawks, right?
Yeah, a little over a year ago, and same thing. They had a bar attached, and this was when they won the cup last, and they were like, it was game seven against Anaheim, and the entire like wedding went next door to watch the end of the game.
I think if it's a special occasion like that, and by special occasion I mean the Blackhawks winning the Stanley Cup.
Not the wedding.
No, the wedding's nice, but if it's a special occasion like the Blackhawks in the Stanley Cup finals, I think you almost owe it to the people who are coming to the wedding to offer them that alternative if they want to check
so
in
what,
on the game.
If there's no TV, you bring one from home, hook up some cable?
Yeah, probably something like that. I would do that at my wedding if I knew that there was some major thing going
yours
on.
Yours was
like
the
that.
Small outdoor wedding. There is no way you would have done that.
And this is a little different because it's a clinching game. We all know they're going to go to the playoffs. If it was like a game
seven.
We don't
all know that.
Right.
Yeah, we do.
They will.
How will they do in the playoffs? That's the big
question.
That's
the thing.
Stop rooting against them, Wendy.
I'm not rooting against
really?
Them.
Really? That wasn't a root against comment?
No.
You sure? You want them in. It's good. It's good for America.
I don't really care right now, but if they're in, I will hope for the best.
All right,
okay?
That's good.
Can I just
that's
say
positive.
That?
That's positive. That's good. So if you were at an event like Kevin's wedding reception, and the game was on, and it was let's say it was the clinching game, or let's say it was pushed back for some reason, not that Kevin's wedding is going to be pushed back. There's no reason for that. But let's say when they picked the date, it was the date of the playoffs or the World Series, you might check in on it, wouldn't you? You wouldn't want to see how they're doing a little bit?
No, Jimmy Mack and I will be at the bar.
Yeah, all right.
That's with the perfect, other Sox fans.
But that's the perfect place to show it, at the bar.
Yeah, I guess.
Just consider it, Kevin. You don't have to commit, but just I would have it as an option.
Right, just one commitment that day is fine, but
right.
Just think of the other ones.
Right.
It's funny, Bill, you mentioned that if you were at your wedding and there was some big clinching game of some sort in the sporting world, like a Bears victory maybe, you'd wheel in a TV.
This is science fiction, but yeah.
George, you know someone who actually wheeled in a TV.
My son down in Kansas City, and he went to Iowa State. His bride went to Kansas. There's a Kansas-Iowa State football game, and they just wheeled in like a huge, huge flat screen, 50, 60-inch, bigger than that. But they just wheeled it in and watched the game.
How about that?
That's
and were there
sweet.
Complaints from anybody? Did anybody say this is inappropriate? This is a wedding.
These
you can't
kids
have that.
Today and their televisions.
TVs.
No.
Nobody did.
Not at all. I mean, matter of fact, even the grandparents sat down and watched the game because one of the grandfathers had gone to Kansas, too.
Oh.
So they all just sat down and watched the game. And, I mean, that was I think it started at 2 and it ran to like 4:30 or something. You know, everybody just sat, or no, excuse me, take that back, it was a night game. It started like 6 and went to 8:30.
Yeah.
Everybody just sat there and watched the game.
Pretty good idea, Kevin. You better acquire a TV for your wedding night. Thank you, George.
I've had two different people tell me almost an identical story about being at a wedding reception, and one was a baseball game, one was a hockey game, and they said to people around them, I'm taping the game, so if you hear anything, don't tell me, and they said, that's impossible because everybody now has access on their phone. So you see people cheering and excited because the Blackhawks scored a goal or somebody hit a home run.
It's pretty hard unless you're like doing a long drive somewhere by yourself to stay away from
then
it.
Then it's impossible. Right.
Bill, your wife happened to call.
What did she say?
Tracy called?
She said there was no way in hell she would have let you have a TV at the wedding.
You say,
oh,
and you,
no.
Can I just say, Terry wouldn't allow it, but you wouldn't have done that either. You really would not have. That was your wedding day. You're a little prim and proper when it comes to that.
If it was...
No, you wouldn't have.
I would have made my best effort to convince her that it would be fine. I mean, I'm trying to remember what happened. One time we had a Christmas party, and the Bears were playing the Packers during the Christmas party. And she said to me, she goes, look, I know there's going to be a lot of Bears fans here and one Packers fan, but it would ruin the party to have the game on. And there was just one guy, one of our friend's husbands, who's like a nut for the Bears. He went in another room in our bedroom and watched the game during the Christmas. Just closed the door. It was him and 50 coats watching the Bears versus the Packers. And everybody else enjoyed the party. But it was an option that I think you almost have to offer up.
That's a Christmas party. That's not a wedding.
Yeah, I know. It's not. It, right. It's not as big of a deal.
You wouldn't have allowed that either, but you sound nice. Like, oh, sure, I would have worried right. about the guests.
I would have done my best to try to convince her that we should have it as an option.
And she would have said, Terry would have said,
no.
I think the priest that is coming is bringing the TV.
Right. Just fool me. Right.
And the priest wasn't coming, therefore the TV wasn't
right.
coming.
Right. Right. It all falls together, doesn't it? All right, a quick break, and then more discussion. We're at 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Bear down, Chicago Bears. Bill, I know you're not a fan of Jay Cutler's.
I'm not.
But I know you were a fan of the 85 Bears, because we keep living in the past. Can
right.
I tell you that?
What a year that was.
It
what
keeps
a magical
me coming
year.
Back for every Bears game.
Yeah.
Well, most of them.
Yeah.
Even now. In the studio with us right now, Rich Lankoff. He's on our show a lot when we have legal issues. But he and the director and producer of this new 85 Bears documentary, Scott Preston, is in the studio as well. And Mike McNamara, what are you doing here?
Hey, I'm proud to be one of the associate producers on this doc. And so I got a buzz this morning and said, come over and talk with all my friends.
Good.
So I said, okay.
Well, congrats on this, by the way. 85, the greatest team in pro football history. It airs Tuesday night, WTTW, 7:30 p.m.?
Correct. Yes, on PBS.
I cannot wait to see this.
So can we. I mean, this is the product of a lot of hard work, about 18 months or so of work by our production team, which is all local, you know, not a lot of people. So, yeah, we're really proud of the product we put on, and Otis Wilson's one of our co-producers as well. We've just, you know, been looking today at some final edits, and it looks amazing. I think everyone's going to be real pleased.
You could easily make the argument, and you do in the documentary, that this was the greatest team ever assembled, the greatest season that's ever been put together. It's pretty easy to say, not just from the stats, but just from watching the games, a team couldn't come out and beat these guys.
We do make that argument in the film, and as we interviewed people, we allowed them to answer that question.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are pro-Chicago and said, yes, this is, you know, if you can't score on a team, they're the greatest team. How are you going to get past them? But enough people, some ESPN folk chimed in and said, 72 Dolphins, if you wanted to be the best team ever, you should have, you know,
yeah.
won out your season. But
right.
it's interesting to hear everybody chime in, especially with the celebrities we brought in and the important Chicago personalities.
Name some names.
Barack Obama.
Bill Murray. Bill Murray, Jeremy Piven. Mm-hmm. We've got a reunion of the superfans from SNL. Robert Smigel, who invented it, who's also voice of Triumph the Wonder Dog, who I know Bill loves.
Michael Wilbon.
Mike Wilbon from ESPN, great. Joe Mantegna, George Wendt. Lots of the Bears from 85. We've got Coach Ditka. But yeah, you know, getting the president was not a small deal for our film.
Did you stalk him?
Well, federal court order
that's
says
right.
I can't answer that legally, but you know, I've answered this question a couple times. It was amazing how gracious people were, not because we're amazing producers or, you know, anything. It was just the fact that you're talking about the 85 Bears, and Otis Wilson was amazing in helping introduce us. But yeah, I mean, the president obviously is a huge fan, and, you know, Bill Murray, these guys were incredibly gracious, and it was just, you know, bugging them and stalking them, but also the fact that we're talking about the 85 Bears.
Right. We just lost Buddy Ryan a short time ago. Were you able to secure an interview, spend some time with him or not?
He was on our list, and unfortunately that tragedy happened prior. But we do have a nice memorial to him in the film.
Yeah.
And to backtrack, I will say this. Getting Bill Murray made getting Barack Obama look like ordering an Uber, but we got him.
It was easier to get
he was amazing.
Barack Obama, the president of the United States, than it was Bill Murray.
It was a more business-like move forward. It was difficult, but yeah. Bill Murray is just a talented greased pig running around, and you have to tackle him and get him in front of a camera. And once you do, he's liquid gold. He was just
and
amazing.
We really did just call, apparently, Bill Murray a pig on national
radio.
A talented greased pig.
He was.
That's a much better visual, and those specifics are beautiful.
Yeah, he was amazing. I mean, he could have been nicer. He was, like, from day one, we were talking about people that we wanted. he was like, you know, 1 through 9 of the guys in the top 10 that we wanted, just because all of us obviously grew up idolizing Bill Murray. I mean, I watched Meatballs like a million times as a kid. So he was right on the list. And we started from day one trying to get him. And as Scott mentioned, as we've all heard, like, the legend is true. He doesn't go through publicists or agents. He's got, you know, an 800 number. You call, and, you know, Scott and I will never forget the moment that in my car we're driving down Lakeshore Drive. And we called Bill Murray's cell phone, which I thought was a total joke. I'm like, yeah, okay, sure, Bill Murray's cell phone. Guess what? He picks up on the first ring, right? So Bill Murray picks up, and Scott and I are like, hello,
you
Mr. Murray.
You weren't prepared,
Murray.
Were you?
Oh, hi, this is Rich.
He sounds like Bill Murray, which makes it scary.
Yeah. Right.
To talk to.
It was really intimidating talking to Bill Murray. But, you know, finally, literally, what, 18 months later, we get a call. We get a text from Bill Murray. Scott gets a text and says, all right, here's the deal. You've got like 90 minutes. I'm on a layover at LAX tomorrow.
24 hours.
Now, we're a small crew. We're pretty nimble, but I mean, that's a lot to ask for in 24 hours. But Scott and his crew in LA got it together. And next thing we know, we're at the Delta Lounge at LAX. Scott's interviewing Bill Murray, and it just gave us amazing stuff.
It was they don't have a private area in that lounge, so we built a chair for it, like you would when you're a kid, just to protect him from the rest of the gang and the sound. And yeah, he was amazing. And for the record, we have a lot of celebrities and Chicago celebrities in the film, but we weren't celebrity shopping. These are all true dyed-in-the-wool Bears fans. Piven's a Bears nut.
Yeah.
Barack Obama.
Ike Barinholtz. I mean, Ike Barinholtz, who's incredibly hot, you know, from Suicide Squad. He was the jail guard in Suicide Squad. Been in a million things. He was, like, he was, I think, thrilled to just be on involved.
His daughter's name is Peyton.
Really?
And that was no accident. So these are all...
But you see that a lot. There's a lot of Chicago kids with the name Peyton for obvious reasons. It's a nice tribute to, you know, one of the best
my daughter's... My first choice, my daughter was Fridge, and then my wife said,
oh,
I changed it to Emma instead, but we wanted to name it Fridge. But yeah, it's incredible how much, you know, 30 years later, there continues to be such a place in everyone's heart for these guys.
Yeah. A lot of clashing personalities on the Bears of that particular year. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I mean, the story, Scott could chime in, but the stories you've heard are true. I mean, you know, the conflicts has been well documented. You know, we try to deliver in this film some things you haven't heard before. I mean, listen, everyone's heard a lot about some of the rivalries.
Mm-hmm.
All that is true. We tackle that, but we also give you sort of a different perspective on it. You know, some stuff you haven't heard before. So there will be things. Even though a lot of our listeners think you've heard everything you could ever hear about the 85 Bears, I guarantee you after watching this on Tuesday, there are things that you've never heard before.
All right. And, you know, there were some rivalries, but a lot of camaraderie, too, between the players.
To hear the players talk, it was the rivalries that drove them forward. Buddy and Ditka were oil and vinegar. Yeah.
Absolutely.
But that was part of what drove them to succeed.
Yeah.
And same thing with the players. The offense and defense were so much in competition that it just drove them forward. And
that, is that what the Bears of today need?
Yes, that is one of the things the Bears of today needs. My documentary on the Bears of today, by the way, is really going to be interesting, too.
It's about
called
3 minutes.
Please Do Something Right. It's going to be out soon.
And it's just a still of Bill flipping off Cutler.
Right. Yeah, that's all you get. When Buddy Ryan passed away a couple months ago, Mike Ditka said some extremely nice things about him, paid very nice tribute to Buddy Ryan. I didn't know if I would ever hear or see that, but he did. It's been explained that the Bears were one of those teams, especially that season, that really had two head coaches. Maybe that didn't sit too well with Mike Ditka, but you had both guys who were so knowledgeable, such smart football guys running that team.
Yeah, that drove a lot of the rivalry. I mean, listen, when Buddy Ryan was on the staff when Ditka got hired.
Yeah.
So Buddy Ryan wanted that job.
Yeah.
He was very unhappy that he didn't get that job. He thought it was his time after being a coordinator for a long time. So from the jump, these guys were not on the same page. But they were on the same page in terms of, hey, this is working, right? Let me stay out of your hair. I'll stay out of, you know, vice versa. And it worked. Obviously worked that season. And, yeah, now with the benefit of hindsight, Coach Ditka has said that, you know, he might have done things differently, but ultimately, you know, he had great respect for Coach Ryan.
Hindsight is far greater. At the moment and with the pressure and the excitement, you do what you do.
Well, and to be honest, if Buddy Ryan was made the head coach of that 85 team, there's a pretty good chance they don't win as much as they did. None of those rivalries exist if it's just a defensive heavy team. The fact that Ditka was the coach is what ignited that offense, which is what created those two houses and drove both sides. We saw what Buddy Ryan was, an average head coach in Philadelphia. You can call it what you want to call it. If without him, if that little thing that happened there where Buddy Ryan was kind of slighted there is what sparked that whole team.
They clashed all the time, but when we asked the players and some of the fans, why do you think there's no dynasty? Most of them said Buddy Ryan leaving.
They clashed,
but it worked.
When
he exited, things just started melting away.
We're going to take a quick break. We're talking about 85, the greatest team in pro football history. It's going to air on WTTW Chicago on Tuesday night at 7:30. There's a little sneak preview party on Saturday, which if you keep listening, I believe you guys are going to be giving away 5 pairs of tickets to.
Stay
tuned to find out about that. Scott Preston, director and producer, Rich Lankoff, producer, and Mike McNamara also helped with this, too.
Yep, associate producer. And, check us out. Find us on Facebook, 85 Bears Doc. Give it a like and drop us a line.
And we will continue talking Bears, 85 Bears, the only Bears anybody wants to talk about. 312-981-7200. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. I used to know every word to this song, the Super Bowl Shuffle. My girlfriends and I would play the parts.
Of all the Steve Fuller videos that I've seen over the years, this is, I think, the best.
Among the best. I wouldn't necessarily go that far.
Among the best.
Bill Murray makes fun of Fencek in the film.
Does he?
And I'm kind of scared to show Fencek.
All right. Scott Preston, director and producer of this 85 Bears documentary, 85, the greatest team in pro football history. Rich Lankoff, producer, associate producer. Mike McNamara in the studio. And it's going to be shown Tuesday, WTTW Channel 11 at 7:30. I cannot wait to see it. Speaking of the Super Bowl shuffle, that's mentioned, isn't it? That was the best part of the 85 Bears for a lot of women.
You think you've heard everything about the Super Bowl shuffle. You haven't. We've got some great stuff on there. Actually, initially, one of our thoughts was to do a documentary just based on that. We were just going to do a story on that, and that sort of blossomed into the bigger picture. But yeah, I mean, you know, again, like, we think that a lot of people will learn things that they've never learned about the Bears. We think this is sort of the final take on a lot of these stories. But yeah, the Super Bowl shuffle is well covered by a lot of the people who were in the room that night.
Did any other team do anything like that? Because that was just so groundbreaking.
A lot of them did it after. There was a lot of copycats afterwards. Like, the Niners did one that was terrible.
The Steelers did one.
Yeah, it was.
But this was
even
done.
Ditka did one, by the way. Even Coach Ditka did one.
Oh, come on, gang.
The Super Bowl
is that
shuffle.
Your Ditka?
That's Wendy Ditka.
That's the best I can do.
That's Wendy Ditka. The Super Bowl shuffle was shot very early in the season, which means they either had incredible foresight or they were just cocky. I mean, you wouldn't do that early
in
the season.
I'd say cocky.
It was right after the Dolphins loss, right? So, which is even more,
that's a little later.
Which is just amazing that these guys had the audacity
to
tape a video talking about dominating in the Super Bowl that wouldn't happen, you know, for many weeks later. But that just, you know, shows why the guys were the greatest.
They had such an attitude, but not like a jerky attitude like a lot of times you see in the NFL now where somebody is just a jerk. They just had this attitude that they loved themselves. They were going to do it.
Absolutely, absolutely. And a lot of them will tell you that Miami game that was right before the video, they were so high in themselves, they feel like if they hadn't lost that game, they might have sleptwalked through the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So it was a crazy ride. They lose the Miami game. They make this video bragging on what they're going to do weeks later, and they're our heroes.
When they were in the Super Bowl against the New England Patriots, the ultimate blowout, the ultimate Super Bowl blowout, the criticism has been that Walter Payton didn't get a touchdown in that Super Bowl. Why didn't he?
Ditka just basically said, you know, it was a crazy week. It was a crazy game. It was my job to win, and it wasn't on my mind. And everyone said if anyone had mentioned to anyone else on that sideline, we would have run him 40 times, you know, across the end zone line, and no one just thought about it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Dick has told the story many times, like Scott said, that that's one of his regrets. But, you know, there's a lot of people who are on the other side of the idea, including some of the players we interview, who say, listen, we love Sweetness. Obviously, you know, no disrespect to Sweetness, but we're trying to win a game, and we're concentrating on winning that game, not necessarily getting, you know, an individual touchdown. So there's a lot of sort of back and forth on that. I had Walter Payton on my wall growing up in another country. I grew up in Montreal, so I was a huge Peyton fan. I was always, you know, unhappy that he didn't get a touchdown. But there are plenty of people who think that that wasn't the biggest, you know, deal.
Was he asked about that ever?
Oh, I mean, he talked about it a lot.
But is that something that he would have wanted? I know it's heartbreaking that he didn't score in that game, but I almost feel like he wouldn't have wanted the special treatment.
He avoided the press after the game. He hid in a broom closet.
Yeah, he cried. I mean, listen, he's the greatest guy ever, and
absolutely,
we have absolute respect for him. And Jared was amazing in the film. But, yeah, he talked afterwards for many years about how that was a regret for him.
But you got to understand, I mean, the Bears had the ball on the 1 or 2 yard line, I think, at least 3 different times, at least 2 different times. So it's not something like, well, it just never happened. Because you have some games where it's like, well, it was a 10-yard out. Well, it was this. I mean, you're on the 1 yard line. You can decide who gets the touchdown.
Sure. But I mean,
and they went with the fridge. And there were a couple times where Peyton was an option, and McMahon tucked it and went in. And you know what? That's what he should have done. Every time Peyton touched the ball, there were 3 guys on him.
Yeah.
Which was actually the case for a lot of his career, if you really followed Peyton.
I think it was more of an issue for Walter Peyton. I mean, listen, the average fan, I think anyone around the world would agree that Peyton was the greatest running back in history. And I don't think the fact that he didn't score in this one game detracts in any way. I think it was more for him personally. Oh. He would have loved to score it, you know. So, but I mean, among
fans, he felt like he didn't accomplish.
Yeah, I think it was more, you know, something, an issue for him. But
Ditka's plan the whole time was that the defense was going to key on Peyton. And that's why he was constantly getting fakes. And it worked. If you watch the footage, everyone was 3 guys on Peyton. Whoever got the ball got an extra 5 yards. Yeah. But Ditka did feel so bad. He scored a touchdown in his playing days in the Super Bowl, and handed that football to Walter after the Super Bowl. So
I've heard
there was some closure.
I've heard NFL critics say that Jim McMahon was one of the least effective quarterbacks to ever lead a team into the Super Bowl, but I don't know that I agree with that. Do you?
So, I mean, the players don't agree with that. They love
attitude,
him. He was their
man.
Leader.
It was all attitude.
Totally.
Yeah. Well, but technically, he wasn't the most technically accurate quarterback you've ever seen, right? And that was in the era of, you know, Joe Theismann and Dan Marino, right? Guys who could really sling the ball.
Yeah.
But from a leadership perspective, knowledge of the game, this guy was unsurpassed. And all the players tell us that in the movie, and, you know, anyone could watching that season knows that this guy, as a quarterback leading a team to a championship, was second to none.
How about best non-traditional quarterback ever?
That's the way you want to
seriously,
because
he was one in a million.
And best, you know, sweatband probably ever. Oh. Best headband, arguably, you know, in history.
I remember Bruce Willis wearing one on an episode of Moonlighting, which was pop culture's way of saying, we applaud you guys, you know?
I cannot wait to see this, and I'm sure the listeners are like this too, because we're going to watch this Tuesday night, and then we're going to be psyched for the Bears season that's up and coming. And then we're going to be disappointed.
Just don't win a championship this year, because then our film will not be as important, you know?
That's no problem.
Yeah, I don't think you have to worry.
Wouldn't that be the luck?
I don't think you have to worry. But isn't the difference, look at Jim McMahon as opposed to Jay Cutler. You can be cocky if you can back that up. If somehow your cockiness pays off, and McMahon's did, be cocky all day.
Yeah, no question. I mean,
but wait, the difference was Cutler is not a leader. McMahon was cocky. He backed it up, and he was a leader, right?
Right.
I mean, that's what
the
Rich and Scott.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah.
The players loved Cutler. Cutler's driving all the good players, all, you know, kind of off the team.
Yeah.
I mean, Cutler is not a leader. It's a completely
different. He leads his own feet.
Come on. He's the exact opposite. He throws a beautiful spiral. He throws 2 passes a game where you're like, that's amazing.
Now's a great time to jump in and thank the Chicago Bears organization.
Oh, yeah, they were
so
great.
So much for how
of
great
course.
They were in this project. And
of course.
How big
fans
Cutler. We are.
I like Cutler. I'm
just
saying
definitely
he's apples and oranges with McMahon. He's the opposite of McMahon. McMahon could never throw a ball as good as Cutler, but Cutler could never lead a team the way McMahon did.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen. This is the Bears. They're our team. I'm sorry. I'm still behind them.
All right.
Of course.
They're not the 85 Bears.
They're not the 85 Bears.
They might be.
Guys, this is the most exciting thing, especially if you're a Chicago Bears fan, and many of us are. So what do people need to do? There's several ways to see this. Give all the options.
Oh, well, first you can see it on Tuesday.
Tuesday night, 7:30 on PBS, WTTW. They're putting a whole fundraiser together surrounding it. So we're going to be live in studio with Otis Wilson, one of our producers. He'll be there live during the intermissions.
Mama's boy Otis, one of a kind.
You can get a sneak preview of it right now as we speak by tuning in, by looking at Bears85BearsDoc.com. That's 85BearsDoc.com. You'll see a quick clip on there that has a lot of the best parts of the movie. And then, as we mentioned, we're having a sneak preview for some friends and family, very small gathering on Saturday night at Underground, and we're going to talk about a chance for some of your listeners to win a chance to join
now?
Us.
Yeah, do it now.
Message us on the Facebook page, 85 Bears Doc. The first five people that shoot us a message at the 85 Bears Doc Facebook page will give you guys passes for you and a guest to come out to Underground tomorrow night. Billy Deck, the whole gang will be there. A lot of the Bears guys will be there, and you can come out and enjoy a special sneak preview Saturday night. If not, though, Tuesday, PBS, 7:30.
Good luck and congratulations.
And then we're going to be airing it nationally, internationally after that. Right now, this is a sneak preview on Tuesday night for our local audience. But, yeah, we're really excited about the project, and thank you guys so much for having us.
And it's to help them out. It's PBS's fundraiser. That's what it's all about. So we were happy to let them have
very
a
good.
For that.
Rich, Scott, Mike, thank you guys. Appreciate
thank
you
very
here.
Much.
Yep. This is great. We'll take a quick break, then news. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Steve, thanks so much. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder. We're at 312-981-7200. We're joined right now by Kurt Wagner. Kurt is the owner and proprietor of TVShowPatrol.com. It's right there on your internet. Hi, Kurt.
Hello.
How are you?
Good.
Can you stand Bill with his sexy voice
it's
today?
Pretty sexy, it's you got to admit. Yep.
I was wooed on the way in.
Well, how
today.
Could you not be? It's impossible not to be. Kurt, they canceled Larry Wilmore's show on Comedy Central. That's the nightly show. This was the show that Comedy Central put together after Stephen Colbert left for CBS.
Right.
They canceled it after a little over a year, right? A year and a half. But the reason they canceled it was not low ratings.
Well, they claim it was didn't have enough social engagement on, you know, enough engagement on social media outlets. And I read a few things where, you know, the critics are saying, well, it was because he didn't talk about subjects that you could whittle down.
Capsulize in a minute or two.
Capsulize, yeah. And, you know, there weren't soundbite topics. I mean, he went pretty hard at racism and things like that.
But look at how now, because of the internet, James Corden does these videos where he's in a car singing karaoke with people that get a lot of hits. Jimmy Fallon will play some sort of a game like Hungry Hungry Humans with his guests. That gets a lot of hits online. So you're penalized almost now on network TV if you don't do that sort
right.
of thing.
Right. Well, I know a lot of people who just don't even watch the show anymore because they wait for those clips.
Yeah.
You know, it's all brief clips now.
How about that? Yeah. That's how things have changed so quickly.
I don't really watch any of those late night shows anymore.
No.
I think we were talking about this before the world of DVR. You'd watch your local news, and then you needed a little nightcap before you went to bed, so
right.
you'd want like a palate cleanser kind of thing. Now it's like, I don't know, it just has not become an appointment viewing for me.
Right. Well,
And I love them when I see clips and stuff. I'm like, "Oh my god, these guys are so funny," but I have not made it a regular thing.
Yeah, I don't watch them regularly either, but I think like somebody like Larry Wilmore, I think should go to CNN.
Yeah.
Or somewhere like that.
Yeah.
You know,
more serious
I mean,
type of thing.
He does joke and he does do a little satire, but the topics are very serious.
Sure.
You know, it's always sort of fascinating, interesting.
Comedy Central hasn't named a similar show to replace that show. They've just moved Chris Hardwick's game show up a half an hour. That's what they've done so far.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a guy that I know you're not that familiar with because you're a little bit younger than I am and that Wendy is. But Jack Riley died about a week ago. Jack Riley was one of those character actors in the 70s who you saw quite often, most notably on the Bob Newhart show. He was Mr. Carlin. One of his sullen
patients.
Well,
you know, when I when you said his name and I looked it up and I saw his face, I immediately knew who it was.
Yeah. Yeah. A really fun actor. And then I guess in later years, people knew him from Rugrats. He was one of the parents' voices on Rugrats. And he was, it's funny because he did that guy's voice. The guy he was playing was probably 30 or 32 or something like that. And at that point, he was almost 70. So it just shows that his voice held up so well over the years.
Right.
Very unique voice.
Yeah. Very sad. You talked to Milo Ventimiglia,
Ventimiglia,
and people know him from several shows now, right?
Heroes, loved him.
Well, he was in Heroes. He was in Gilmore Girls, the original Gilmore Girls. He played bad boy Jesse.
Is he adorbs in real life?
Yeah, he's cool. I saw him at Wizard World last week and did a little interview because he is in the revival of Gilmore Girls that's coming in November on Netflix. And he wouldn't talk much about what's happening in that because he wants everybody to experience it themselves.
But, sure.
But he said that that his character is no longer... He's grown up to be a really a nice guy, a decent guy. He no longer torments people just for fun.
Darn it.
Like he used to. But he wouldn't tell me if he gets back together with Rory. Apparently, all of Rory's old boyfriends will be back.
They all show up again?
Yeah.
They've gotten... The producers have gotten pretty much everybody... I'm trying to think if there's any major characters they haven't snagged to come back.
I think
they
got everyone for at least an episode.
Yeah.
And it's four episodes. They're an hour and a half long. They're sort of feature length. They're movies. And they are themed to the seasons, winter, spring, summer, fall.
Interesting. Now that the...
Oh, and then also...
Yeah.
Milo, I didn't talk about his butt.
Got to make time for Milo's butt.
He
Has a Twitter handle, Milo's butt.
He is in a new... NBC show this fall called This Is Us, and the trailer for that when it came out in May just went crazy like wildfire on the internet because it opens as the show does with Milo's butt.
Oh,
naked butt. And
so, better than Sipowicz's. Remember
yes.
We saw that on NYPD Blue.
Yes. So I didn't watch TV for 6 weeks after that.
Yeah.
Well, Milo's canceled my TV.
Much better than that.
Yeah.
It's not as traumatic. The clip on YouTube, the official trailer on YouTube has like, when I looked before I wrote the story this week, has more than 8 million views. And apparently it broke records when it first came mm-hmm. out, you know, and that's
record
just
record breaking butt.
And that's just on there, you know, and it's funny because NBC's saying, oh yeah, it's going to be a really great show. That's not why it's,
right.
You know? And so I asked Milo, if he's tired of talking about his butt.
Mm-hmm.
And his reply was, I would never get tired. I'm never tired of talking about my yeah. But then he connected it sort of to the overall theme of the show, which is about, you know, he says we all have butts.
Yeah, he's right.
Yes, we do.
We all
he's
have
absolutely
them.
Right.
And it's a totally human thing, you know, mm-hmm. just like the
it would
show,
be hard to sit down if we didn't.
Just like the show delves into like totally human emotions, raw emotions, and everything.
Wendy brought up Dennis Franz, so there was a time NYPD Blue was the show that she's referring to, of course. Where that was every week you had a scene where somebody was partially naked. And then there was a little bit of a rollback where television became very, very safe for a while. What happened that now again it's okay in primetime to show a guy without his pants on?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, what I think the boldest part of that is because I think we've seen a lot of men's butts.
Speak for yourself, Kurt.
You know, on TV.
All right.
But the thing about this is it opens the show. It's the very first scene of the show. And
I might start watching it.
You know, as Milo said, he sort of backed into the role.
All right, stay
but
where you are.
But it's very innocent the way it's presented,
oh, is it?
Too. Yeah, yeah. It's actually a very cute scene.
You know, since that's the topic, I've been watching on ABC, they do these, they're game shows, but they're the ones, it's Match Game.
Oh, right. They brought them back.
And it's $25,000 pyramid, but now with bigger, higher profile stars and bigger, higher profile hosts. And especially on Match Game, I mean, I know during the Rayburn era, some of the questions were kind of a little bit
risque.
Yeah. But it was mostly, it was you playing it off in your head. But now the things like the questions and the answers, I can't believe some of the things they say on network TV in prime time. It's shocking to me. And I don't get
cramps.
Shocked very easily, but I'm, I watch it and I go, boy, Rayburn would not have allowed this. This can't go on.
Well, didn't what was the show that used to be on? Newlyweds. Didn't they always end up having some really...
The Newlywed Game?
But yeah, those
the
were game. Innocent, risque answers.
But
most
I remember
of the
one
time.
Specific clip.
Now, is that...
The
I know
question
you,
was, where do you have
yes.
sex?
Where's the strangest place?
All right, our, yeah. We don't need the answer.
Yeah, don't.
No, I won't give the answer, but right. But I mean... Things like that, I can't imagine what the producers of that show at that time
right.
in that area were doing. You know,
right.
they were like, oh my God, we're probably going to be shut down
yeah.
or something.
How about that? Kurt Wagner's here from TVShowPatrol.com. If you have a question or a comment, please call in 312-981-7200, Bill and Wendy, WGN. Kurt Wagner's here from TVShowPatrol.com. If you have any questions or comments, 312-981-7200 is our phone number. There was a show on Netflix, 8 episodes, called Stranger Things, that really captured a lot of people's attention, and there's an interesting twist to one of the characters on that show.
It's really summer's biggest bona fide hit.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Television hit, and everyone seems to be talking about it. But the interesting thing is there's a character in there who was in, I think, a total of 3 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And her name is Barb, and she has sort of captured the imagination of everyone. Everyone's talking about her. There's hashtags, we are all Barb, and various other others.
We all have little bits of Barb. She's yeah. not 100% popular.
Yeah.
She's awkward and a little, what, like, you know, kind of...
Bookwormy?
Bookwormy.
Not very stylish.
She's the friend of the girl who...
the hot
is
girl.
Almost popular.
Yes. Yeah.
And who the most popular guy is after. And she sort of gets left behind a little bit.
Yeah.
Poor Barb.
Yeah. So, you know, a lot of writers have written about how, you know, the reason that she's so popular is because everybody recognizes some part of their own awkward high school self in her.
Makes sense.
I was kind of surprised by the allure.
Now, talk about the game that's going on online because of Barb.
Well, I was surprised about the allure of her, and then I was looking. I don't know. I had to look at something in my photo album from my high school days, and I found my junior high prom picture.
Yeah.
Where my hair is permed.
Yes.
And my glasses are big, just like Barb's. And I kind of look like I could be Barb, so
it's
maybe.
Really freaky.
Maybe it's beyond
it's
freaky,
true.
Kurt.
Talk about Stranger Things.
But you're not the first one. That's
no,
been the online game is people
it's
finding
happened,
other
yeah.
people who look either yeah. sometimes themselves.
I'm late to the party,
right?
But
you do look. I mean, with all due respect,
and
to both
you know,
you
Barb has this real high neckline
and
because
I'm
she's covering
yeah.
herself up.
Yeah,
and you're wearing a really bad white tux.
Hey, it's a cream colored tux.
Oh, cream colored. Okay, and so your neckline's up really high too. Oh my God, you are a dead ringer for Barb.
So when they bring the show back for season 2, if Barb needs a brother, you would probably get
I
that
I could
part.
Be her brother, yeah.
I would hope
I
so.
I did get my hair permed again, though.
Yeah, yeah. There's a show that we discussed briefly a few weeks ago, and I hadn't seen it when you talked about it, but now I have seen it. I started watching The Night Of on HBO with John Turturro. And
you were telling me about
boy,
this.
Boy, is it good. It's one of the most tense experiences. Almost every minute of that show, you're on edge because... something bad is about to happen, has happened, or just happened.
Mm-hmm.
And John Turturro, who's always good, I've never seen him bad in anything. This might be the best thing he's ever done.
It's a good example of the sort of genre, crime genre show or whatever you want to call it, that is everywhere, and people might be tired of it, but then something comes along that takes that and sort of either spins it on its head or just does it so well that suddenly you can't say, oh, I'm so tired of those now because it's, you know.
The storyline is intriguing. The characters are great, from the minor characters up to the major characters. They're all great. And it's shot beautifully from the opening sequence all through the, everything you see. It's just so artistically done. Highly recommended. And I know the last episode runs, I think, this Sunday.
I think so, yeah.
But you can go to HBO On Demand and watch the whole arc. Right. I think it's 8 episodes.
And Riz Ahmed plays the accused guy, and he's incredible, too.
I've told you this about a couple of shows.
Yeah.
You would so love the show. It grips you and doesn't let go. It's so strong
and
all the way through.
How many episodes were there?
8 or 10.
8 or 10, I can't remember.
And then it'll be on hiatus for a little bit?
Yeah.
All right, so I'll catch up.
Yeah.
All right, good. Yeah. Can we fly through these questions really quick? Because every time we have Kurt in the studio.
Oh, sure.
But make them quick so we can get through to everyone. Kevin, Kurt Wagner, you had a question for him?
Yeah, there was a show on Esquire TV called Spotless, and I was just wondering if there's a second season and when we'd see it.
I love that show, and I believe it will come back, but I have no idea when. It's a British-French production, and then Esquire picks it up, so I'm not sure when it'll come back, but I'm pretty sure they're doing a second season.
What's Spotless about? I don't know it.
It's about these two brothers. One of them is French, but he lives in London.
Yeah.
He is a crime scene cleaner.
Yeah.
And his brother is a small-time criminal. He comes over and sort of disrupts his whole life, and he ends up becoming a crime scene cleaner for a mobster.
Oh,
does this sound great?
Yeah, it's awesome. I interviewed there's a French-Canadian actor, Marc-André Grandin, I think is his name. I can't remember. I interviewed him for the show, and because he's amazing in it. He plays the crime scene cleaner brother.
Yeah.
Spotless?
Yeah.
All right.
It's very good.
And this is Bill. Bill, quick question for Kurt Wagner.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Kurt, we love Grindr, and I knew a lot of people who loved Grindr. And what happened? I mean, besides ratings, it was a great show. And why did they not give it a second season?
Just probably because of the ratings.
That's it.
Yeah.
Isn't that sad, though?
Did you like it?
Yeah, it was funny. It was funny. I don't know that I watched it every week.
Explain Grindr for people who haven't seen what goes on in
Grindr. Grindr was Rob Lowe played a actor who played a lawyer on a television show called The Grindr.
And Fred Savage
and Fred Savage was his brother, who was an actual lawyer. Rob Lowe, the show ends. Rob Lowe moves back to wherever his brother lives and tries to help him in his law practice to hilarious effects.
Yeah.
Well, sorry about that.
They keep Superstore and they let that one go.
Oh.
I don't get it sometimes.
Yeah.
I love Superstore.
Yeah, well, it's two different networks, I think.
Thank you so much, Bill. That's, you know, that's what makes this world go around, is everybody has different interests. I'm still upset about vinyl not being brought back.
Yeah.
Laura, the last question for today.
Oh, great. Laura, I'm looking at information on a program, Derek, starring Gervais, seasons 1 and 2. It ended after season 2. It was originally, I think, a British program, but I haven't been able to capture it on DVD. I'm trying to check it out, and they said it's only available, that it wouldn't work on Blu-ray or U.S. DVD players. Any information?
Well, I think it's a Netflix show. So I think it's on Netflix, but I don't think they're doing any more after what's been out.
No, I know that, but no, not everyone has Netflix. I'm just hoping to get it out of the library. I'm sure you can get it.
If it's not already available, it will be soon. I'm positive that it doesn't cost them anything.
It seems like it would be.
Yeah.
And check with the library.
2 years. 2 years.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that is a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Come on,
yeah.
Kurt, you know people.
I'm sorry.
The library is great for getting things, but Laura, remember to return them, because I think it was the last episode of Breaking Bad I spent like $40 on
because
I didn't return it on time.
I remember that.
Thank you, Laura. All right. Well, that's tough to determine. Netflix things sometimes.
Yeah, it surprises me that it's not available on DVD.
It must be. And
like I said,
if it isn't, they'll get around to it.
She's right. It is 2 years since the last season.
Yeah. Kurt, thank you. Great to see you. If people want to read more about television, Kurt's website, again, it's called TVShowPatrol.com, and it's a great one.
The new season of The Strain starts this Sunday.
Oh.
If you're into scares.
Really good. Great science fiction.
What's it called?
The Strain.
On FX.
Very scary.
Season 3.
Very scary. All right, a quick break. Thanks, Kurt.
Yep.
A quick break, and then Kim with the news. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Thank you, Kim. It's Wendy Snyder. It's Bill Leff, and Bill is a little under the weather today.
Yeah, I'm sick.
Although you sound better now than when you first got in.
It's improving. I'll be all right.
You have a sore throat, though, huh?
Yeah, it's kind of sore. It'll be all right.
See,
a little
I
raspy.
I like the rasp.
Do you? All right, thanks.
No, because you told me you liked my rasp.
I thought
yesterday.
Your rasp was very nice.
And maybe we should get a raspberry bubble.
I'm in. Come in.
Kim, do you have an iPhone? I know most people have iPhones. I know Kevin does.
Almost everybody at this point has one. I'm holding out. I'm one of the last holdouts.
I have never seen another phone like yours ever.
Yeah, it is a one of a kind.
It's a Windows phone, and the guy at the store told you that that would be the easiest thing to work, which is really a lie, because an iPhone is the easiest thing to work.
It's a Windows Tile phone, so everything I might want to do is
there's
in
probably
a
like
box.
Sales incentives where they're like, if you sell so many of these, you know.
You get a trip somewhere.
Ask somebody before you go do these things. Does your wife have an iPhone?
Yeah, everyone in my
your
family
kids?
Does but me.
Why do you have to be different?
I didn't want one because I'm not good with tech stuff, so I said...
So get a phone that's impossible to read text or make phone calls.
I was very trusting when I went in. I said, I'm a simpleton, and my tinfoil hat proved that to be true. So I said, I'm not good with tech stuff. What is the easiest, most basic phone that anyone can operate? And he snickered, and then he said, come with me, I'll show you. And then he sold me this, and it's been just a nightmare ever since.
I am pretty tech savvy. I really am.
Yeah.
I can't figure that phone out.
It's impossible.
Why
I don't know why.
Trade it in.
How long have you had it? Don't you have like the 30-day return policy or
something? Oh, it's beyond that.
It's way beyond that. I probably, in retrospect, that would have been my best move.
Why don't you ask, when I'm going to buy something that is toy related or if I want to see a movie, I ask your opinion.
Right. I know.
Why don't you ever ask for help?
Here's why. I hate the fact that everybody has a phone all the time. I just don't like it. And for me especially...
Well, then don't have a phone, but don't have one that you can't work.
But it's easier for me to just not know how to do anything on my phone, and then I can just go, well, I don't even need this. And I just... I've told you, when I go home, like everyone else I know, their phone is on them all the time. When I go home, I put my phone just on the phone shelf, and then I just go about the rest of my day, and I check it, like, you know, the next day when I leave for work.
See, but what if your daughters had to contact you about something?
Yeah, I know.
They wouldn't call the home phone.
Actually, yesterday they did. Kylie did yesterday because she started a fire in her dorm room.
What?
She started a fire. She had evidently, now I'm going to admit I don't understand this fully.
What do you understand? Can I just ask that
there's
question?
There's not a lot.
You rub two sticks together and fire starts.
There's an electric tea kettle. Apparently.
Right. You plug it in, it gets hot.
Right. So she didn't know that you don't put an electric tea kettle on the burner.
Oh, my God.
So she put the electric tea kettle.
She is your daughter.
Well, you're now the fifth person who said that. Because I got blamed for this. From everybody in my family, they go, she takes after you. I go, I don't even know what an electric tea kettle is. I wouldn't burn one.
If there's a plug on it, would you put it on the stove?
I wouldn't. But... Now, in her defense, she said that that cord was removable.
Right, because that's how you store it.
Right. So she just... But now everyone in the family, including her, is blaming me. They go, well, she has your genetic encoding, and she does, because she's my daughter. But I didn't tell her, hey, your first few days back at school, put an electric tea kettle on the burner and watch the explosives.
Watch how I spin this.
Right.
Who bought that for her?
No one bought it for her. It's her new roommates.
Oh, because I was going to say if Terry bought it for her,
then it'd be
Terry's
fault.
Have explained how to use it.
Right. But as each member of our family and somebody who's not even our family, and now you, when they learn this, their immediate gut reaction is to blame me because I'm not good with tech stuff.
No, I'm not blaming you. And quite honestly, did she get her roommate's permission to use it? And if she should have said, how do you use it?
She did. I don't know that she had ever seen one before. We don't have one at
that's
the house.
That's when I know, but that's when you ask somebody, "Hey, can I use your electric tea kettle?
Right?
How do I do this?"
Right. She thought she was doing her roommate a favor by
burning it,
by making it explode. Yeah, she thought, what better way to endear myself to a new roommate than to take one of her items and make it explode and start a fire?
It really started on fire.
Started a pretty big fire, and actually, while I was talking to her yesterday. The chancellor at the school needed to talk to her to find out if this was a regular thing with her, if she's like a pyromaniac, and she's not. But they wanted, there was an inquisition to find out if this happens a lot with her, these little fires.
Did she call 911 or the fire department, or she just
There's
called your home phone?
There's a fire extinguisher in the room.
Oh.
So she put out the fire and then put that on the burner, which you're not supposed to do either.
Well, at least she was able to work the fire extinguisher.
Right.
And didn't, it's right. Good thing she didn't grab hairspray instead. Then
wait, you're not supposed to do that?
The chancellor and then some would be up to talk to her.
I know.
Well, I still don't understand if your whole family had iPhones, and I don't mean any offense when
right.
I say even grandparents can use it, and here's why I say this. They don't usually have a cell phone, and now you see older people who have gotten a cell phone,
oh, sure.
And it's an iPhone, and ease of use is pretty simple.
Right, I know that. I know that.
Just please ask for help sometimes.
I probably should have. I'm so not dependent on my phone that to me, even though it's frustrating, because you've seen me, like somebody will have a guest on and they'll go, hey, if you need my contact number for anything. And then the rest of the day is me trying to put it on my phone. Some of my best friends are not on here because I
don't know how to
figure out unless if they text me, there's like a series of things that have to happen and they all have to happen just the right way. For me to be able to capture their information, or else they're out of luck.
Will you do me a favor, and will you call your provider and ask them...
You mean God?
No, your cell phone provider.
Oh, right.
Ask them when it's time you can trade in your phone.
Yeah. Well, they send me notes all the time saying
How
that I
get
can get
them?
A free update. Skywriter. saying I can get a free update, but then when I go in, it's never free. They explain to me that it's time for a free upgrade, and then I go, so this is free, right? Yeah, it's free, but then if I sign up for it, then it's an extra $30 a month.
Well, right, because now you lease phones, so you own that?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
God, what do you
know? I probably do.
All right. Well, honestly, I know a lot of people have Android phones, and this doesn't apply to them. Kim, do you have an iPhone or an Android?
I have an iPhone.
I'm telling you, it's the easiest thing.
That's the way to go.
It's the best.
Yeah.
It's so easy.
Yeah.
It's so easy. Babies can use it.
I know. You're not exaggerating.
I know.
I see babies all the time. Their mom or dad will give them the phone to play with, and they're, you know, they've got spreadsheets and stuff.
I know.
I had a bottle at 3 o'clock. I'm going to have one at 7 o'clock. There's a graph and a chart.
There is important information regarding iPhone users, and let's take a quick break. And if you have an iPhone, stay close to the radio. We will tell you what to do. Bill, I'm not going to tell you anything.
No, I'm fine.
Honestly, you don't even know how to use that.
I don't. I know I don't.
And it sits in front of you every day, and I just look at you.
Just in case.
But in case what?
I don't know. Just in case.
It's like, honestly, and Kevin, tell me if I'm exaggerating. We'll be in the office and Bill will be like, oh, I'm getting a phone call. And about 30 to 45 seconds later, he figures out how to answer it.
That's true.
Yes, very true.
I know, it's true.
Oh, you're so cute. All right, iPhone users, stay tuned. We've got an important bulletin for you coming up next at 720 WGN. All right. You used to call me on my cell phone. Day night when you need Can I give the bulletin that there's an iPhone alert that's going on? And all right, let me just tell you this. Apple rushed out a new security update for iPhones that came across yesterday after it was revealed that an Israeli company had been selling and exploiting security vulnerabilities to Apple products.
Oh.
Now, here's what concerns me. I heard this on the news this morning, so you can just go to your iPhone and go to General. And under settings, go to general, and then you can see software update. And it says that I'm supposed to update the iOS or EOS, as you call it.
The EOS system.
9.35.
What does that mean?
It's just the, I think
we're on the
latest
version.
The operating system of 9.3. So this is 9.35, and this is like a fix.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what it says. EOS 9.35 provides an important security update for your iPhone or iPad and is recommended for all users. For information on the security content of Apple software updates, visit this website, which I guess I can do. But what if this is the hack? Like, what if this company
hacked
Apple and Apple is sending out this thing saying update to this, and then they can just get the whole contents of your phone?
Oh, how would you safeguard against that? I don't know if you can.
I'm assuming it's from Apple. Kevin, did you update yours yet?
Well, how long ago did it come out?
Yesterday.
Oh, then no, I have not yet.
I'm doing it right now, so I'll let you know.
I hope it's not a hack, Kim. Because that would be brilliant to do it just that way, wouldn't it?
I know. And if I'm a dummy, and I think of doing this, why aren't hackers thinking of this?
I'm sure they are.
Like, they hacked Apple's site, because this is through Apple that you update. So it has to be, in your head, you're going, oh, it's from Apple Inc. I can make a little...
You can make a logo and make it look like...
Apple has confirmed that, yes, indeed, it is their update and software update.
But somebody knowing that could just jump on that and say, well, even Apple has put out the word that they really are sending out an update. I could hack everyone's phone and they'll believe it because Apple said we're going to send you guys an update.
Or they could have hacked Apple.
Right.
Or hacked the Apple, I guess. Right. Sounds better.
Right.
You hack Apple and then Apple has been hacked because you're... Email has been sending me some interesting things.
People have been telling me that for a week.
There's nudity.
Is it mine or someone else's? How do they get those pictures?
I don't know what your files exist of.
Was I riding a pony? Because that's me. If I'm on a pony, that's definitely me. Boy, the Dells are fun. I keep getting notifications saying that I need an update on... there's several different things that it sends me. I get this like 3 or 4 times a week. I need an update, and all I have to do is hit, there's a box that says update. I just hit that.
Download and install.
Right, exactly. But here's what happens when I hit that. There's a box at the bottom that shows progress, like it keeps filling. And then when it gets to the very end, it says try again later. That happens all the time.
Well, are you connected to Wi-Fi when you do it? Because sometimes you need to have Wi-Fi to be able to complete
an
update.
I'm doing it in my house. Wouldn't it just automatically go to my house's Wi-Fi?
Well, not if you have it set connected. Up.
Oh,
how do you walk?
I know how to walk.
I mean, I am so aggravated with phone. I want to whip it against the window.
Do it. Here it is.
Yeah, but then you're going to have to pay money for it.
You've got to have an upgrade, Bill, or one of your kids has to have an upgrade. You can switch phones.
Yeah.
I got an iPhone 5 that will be better than that. That's just sitting around.
But you know that I like to. I'm glad that I don't understand
it. That's the dumbest excuse.
It.
It's like you don't reply all to emails because you say you don't know
how to do it.
But then sometimes you do it. So this, you know, ignorance is not.
If somebody sends me an email or a text that already has other people involved, I can hit that button. I know how to do that. But if right now, if you said, I'll give you $10,000 if you can send me, meaning you, Kim and Kevin, a group email, I don't know how to do that. I can't do that.
For $10,000, you couldn't
figure
it out.
I would learn how for $10,000, but like when I'm trying to find guys for doubles and I have to, like,
for tennis.
Like everybody else sends out. Right.
Finish this
What
sentence.
Did you think? Just to sit around and be guys. I don't know how to get everybody on. Like, if somebody sends me one saying, hey, here's a bunch of us that want to play, I can respond. But I can't initiate that. I
can show you
it.
How to do it in 30 seconds.
Yeah. All right. Maybe.
It's just easier for you to go, I don't know how to do that.
I like not knowing how to do it. It's better for me to not be that connected. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I like not being always, you know, under the spell of my phone.
But you don't need to be, so I guess enjoy it.
Like Kevin the other day said to me, he said, hey, do you have the app that does whatever? He was telling me about some app. You should get that. That would be great for you.
You're talking to him about getting an app?
I don't have a single app. I'm the only person in the history of cell phones. I don't have any apps at all. Zero apps.
You poor, poor, unfortunate soul.
But look, I'm doing fine other than this sore throat. There's no sore throat app.
There's an app for that.
There is a sore throat app.
Yeah.
But other than that, I'm surviving. I'm doing great, and I don't like everyone else I know. They're going, are you on Bubble? And I go, I don't think I am on Bubble. And they're all on Bubble, but I don't. I'm fine not being on Bubble.
You'd be great on Pokemon Go, Bill.
Is there something called Bubble?
I don't know
if there is or not.
All right. Well, I'm downloaded. How did it go for you, Kim? Are you downloaded and installed? Apple update alert iOS 9.3.5.
It's still going. It's taking a while, but it's downloading.
I haven't even gotten the notification for it yet.
I didn't. There was no notification. That's
no,
how
I just
quick
checked
this
it when
is.
Wendy said that, and then it said software update.
Yes, I wanted to help everyone.
Right.
I hope my husband updates it. Do you know, by
but
the
if
way...
you don't, let's say you don't. Let's say you opt out of this. What will happen?
You could
still
get hacked.
Oh, you could?
These
yeah.
are security patches.
Oh.
Which I'm sure all of your updates...
Probably, that's probably what they're sending me for
I
updates.
Thought I read that it also freezes up your phone.
Oh, just downloading it does?
Yeah, if you get hacked.
Oh.
If you get the...
Oh.
Yeah.
That'd be bad.
This World Wide Web is starting to...
It's going
to
be big someday.
No, it's starting to make me nervous. I really don't have anything that, if anybody wants to look at it, it's nothing that would incriminate me.
Are you sure?
I have no nude shots.
You're sure?
Not on this phone.
Oh, all right. On your home phone, on your rotary phone?
Yes.
It's on your cloud.
I don't even keep... I am so... My cloud has been filled for so long, and I think I pay for extra storage and... It says you haven't backed up to your iCloud in 700 days. I have nothing. I have
yeah.
no room left.
Yeah,
I'm sick of giving my money to Apple.
Right, I know. See, I don't
I'm
have to worry about
print
any of that.
Everything. I'm going to print
right.
everything
Good.
And go back to paper files.
Keep a hard copy of
yes,
stuff.
Yes, I will.
Smart idea. All right, we need to take a quick break. Kim has the news. Then we'll find out what Steve Bertrand has coming up on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN. Kim, thanks so much. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. The second half of our Wednesday show, you can jump in at 312-981-7200. The music's been weird today. It keeps stopping and starting ever since Kevin got the Kenner close-and-play photograph that we've been using.
I loved that thing, the close-and-play.
For people who don't know, this was back in the late 60s, early 70s. Kenner invented this phonograph, and what it would do is, like they build it, you would open it up, and it would just stop playing, and then you closed it, and it would continue.
And William Perry probably had a difficult time using it. Does the light go on when you open
right.
the refrigerator?
That's right.
Because it was pretty amazing. You would close it, and then you'd want to open it. How is this thing moving?
Right.
You
we were simpler people back then. Like, that was enough to sell a phonograph is... Wait, I just lift up the top and the music will stop? I'll take one.
Yeah, but it was portable, too. You could bring it around and
right.
play all the records you cut off the back of your cereal boxes.
Right.
The Archies and such.
The Archies and Monkeys. Yeah.
You sound worse.
Yeah, it keeps kind of coming and going a little bit.
We have all shared what I'm telling you, mine is allergies. I feel fine. It's just in my nose.
Yeah. But you don't, even yesterday when it was at its worst, you didn't feel...
I had no soreness in my throat.
Yeah, I've got
just
that.
Scratchy.
Yeah.
I think you're dying.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate the encouragement. Speaking of music, Kim was just talking about how Billy Joel is in town tonight.
Oh, that's tonight?
I've seen him twice, not this time around, but that's a fun show. He puts on a great show. You're not a huge fan of his, are you?
I think he's a great musician.
Billy Joel, yeah.
He looks like a blowfish, but he's a great musician. He's made some great songs. I would see that show.
Yeah. He's one of those guys that just keeps playing hit after hit. Like, you go at some point, well, he's going to run out of songs, isn't he? No. All songs you're familiar with.
But what happens when he plays Piano Man and there are drunk guys in the audience? Do they all embrace each other and start singing into their beers?
Yeah.
Because that's one on the jukebox in a bar. Where people...
I guess. That's the one. I think that's the one that kind of catapulted him into everybody knowing who he was, right? Piano Man. That's probably the one that, even though he had had a
couple
albums...
Only the Good Die Young.
That came later. I mean,
It did. I don't know his whole catalog.
Boy, he's so good. Puts on a great show.
And last time he was in town, was it Amy Schumer that got on his piano and was dancing? Was that him?
I don't know the answer.
It was
to that.
Billy Joel
was
playing
Schumer?
At Wrigley, I believe.
Yeah, her and was it Jennifer Aniston or somebody else was with her?
Jennifer Lawrence.
Oh, that's what it was.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. One of the times that I saw him, it was myself, my brother, and two of our friends. We went to see him in Rosemont. And my brother couldn't see for some reason. He wasn't happy with our seats. Even though the seats were fine, he couldn't really see.
There's so not that much to see, though, at a Billy Joel show, right? I mean, isn't he just sitting at the piano?
Yeah.
Does he have a laser light show going on, too?
No. He does what a guy does. He moves around a lot. There's energy. He just doesn't... He's not confined to the piano bench.
Just to the piano,
He gets around and, you know...
Does he dance?
No. Not really dance.
Okay, not much to see, and I would imagine they had big screens.
Big screens. So my brother and then our friend Paul decided, since my brother couldn't see... that they would go find a better seat, and
up
they
front.
Did. Not up front, but you know what they decided to do is they've got these giant stands throughout the crowd where they have lights set up on top of the stands. So they thought, we'll just go in the section that contains that, like inside it. And then my brother looked over 5 minutes later, and Christie Brinkley is just standing next to him, and she stayed there for the whole show. That's when they were married, when Billy Joel and Christie Brinkley were married.
Okay, but correct me if I'm wrong. Your brother and your cousin couldn't see.
No, a brother and a friend.
Friend, sorry.
Yeah, Paul.
So then they go, and they're standing next to Christie Brinkley, so they weren't looking at the stage ever again
anyway. No, my brother said that was the last they saw of the show. They just kept watching Christie Brinkley, and I get that.
And when they went into Uptown Girl, I'm sure she was going crazy.
Dancing. Yeah, because that was her song.
My older son Michael and my husband Jim went to see John Fogerty last night at Ravinia.
Oh yeah.
And the way to go is get there 2 hours early because then you get a spot in the parking lot.
Yeah.
You beat the traffic, and they got home fairly quickly too, and it was a sold out show. John Fogerty, of course, from Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Yeah.
Did all his hits. His son, which I'm not sure the age of, was playing guitar with him.
Yeah.
And, you know, proud Papa John Fogerty was saying, yes, this is my son. He just graduated from USC with a 4.0 grade point average, which is just
so cute. To
see this rock and roller bragging about his son who's jamming on guitar.
Yeah.
Kenny Aronoff, who's done a lot of drumming with a lot of people, including John Cougar Mellencamp, was the drummer. And they told me it was the best show.
Oh, sure. Yeah, he's good.
He's really good.
He's very good. Did you see that Bruce Springsteen just broke his own record?
How long was the show? I heard Kim do it in the news.
He did a show on Thursday night that lasted 3 hours and 52 minutes.
I saw him at 3:25. Excuse me.
And that, even that.
It's unbelievable. It's almost like you're almost ready to go home. Even though you're loving it, it's like, God, I've been sitting here for 3 hours and 25 minutes.
That's a long show.
It's awesome.
And a lot of times, you know this, at a rock show, you're not just sitting there, you're standing up.
Oh, you're standing,
And I could see that being, for some people, a little bit taxing. I don't know how he does it. I mean, He's not old by any stretch of the imagination.
He's in the best shape ever.
Yeah, he is.
He's in the best shape of his life. It just, you know, that is a workout.
Yeah.
And he dances around. Was Courtney Cox there in the front
row?
Yeah,
she comes to every show, and they dance together at some
point. Dancing in the dark.
Yeah, he just, you know, he does that thing where he just kind of reaches out into the crowd. New Jersey, and then she comes up. Cars, New Jersey, and then she dances with him.
And he's not a very good dancer, I got to tell you.
There's better.
Definitely better. And you know what amazes me is you think of the catalog of a Bruce Springsteen, a Billy Joel, the Rolling Stones for sure.
Yeah.
How do they remember the words to their songs?
Oh, that's a good question. I would imagine at some point it just becomes part of you.
I don't think so.
You don't think?
I think, and look at the next show, the next big show you're at, and see if there's an iPad holder on their mic stand.
Oh, maybe.
Because there's software where you can load songs and it like scrolls.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
Because I've always wanted to be in a band. I can never remember the words to a song.
But those, like the guys you just mentioned, I don't know if this, I would think this would help. They wrote those songs too. They didn't just get them fed to them from a songwriter.
Oh, I know.
So maybe that helps a little bit.
Bill, there are hundreds of songs.
Right, right.
Did you see the Glenn Campbell documentary?
Yes.
Is it called This Is Me?
If it's not, it's something very similar.
But he lost, that's what he could do. He could get up and he could play the music, but he lost the lyrics in his brain.
He's not the only one, though. I know he has Alzheimer's.
Right. So anyway, he would tour in his last tour with a teleprompter.
Yeah. That was the only way he could retain
it. That's what those programs are with the iPad. You see it all the time now.
Yeah.
Next time you're at a show, just look, because there's a little stand that holds an iPad, and there's software. I think one song is one of them, and it just scrolls the lyrics. You can decide how fast you want. You could put what chords you're playing if you're playing guitar with it.
Oh, that's good.
Had this been around before, I would have been a rock singer.
Probably. I could see that.
I can't remember words. I can't remember. We were going to do a promo. Kevin told us what time and what it was. I can't remember anything.
That's alarming, a little, just kind of. My parents said the last time they saw Frank Sinatra in Las Vegas just 2 years before he died. And they said that he went up and he had a handful of index cards and he just kind of just read the lyrics off of index cards.
Shooby dooby doo.
But still, I know. How do you? Shooby dooby. Line? Does anyone know what's next? Frank, it's do. Shooby dooby doo. Gotcha. Pick it up from the top, Jilly. But it's Frank Sinatra, so you give it to him.
Yeah.
You know, he's Frank Sinatra.
But think of the Stones catalog. They have millions of songs.
I don't know
how they do it.
Tough to remember it all. All right, a quick break and then more show. We're at 312-981-7200 if you want to jump in. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. We're talking music a little bit. Billy Joel is in town. John Fogerty was in town, right? That was his. Was that his only show last night? He's not continuing in town, is he?
I don't know. Was it just one night, Wrigley Field?
I thought it was one. Yeah, I thought. I could be wrong. So we wanted to know how these bands or performers who have 40 or 50 or 60 or 70 hits, how could they possibly remember the lyrics to all their songs, even though they wrote them and they've sang them 1,000 times? How do they remember them?
That's a great question. I said iPads, but I guess professional bands like the Stones et al.
They do use
the teleprompters. Ben, do you know how people remember their lyrics that they actually wrote?
Yes, I absolutely do. Bands like U2 use teleprompters, and I have actually seen this with U2 several times where I've been on the side of the stage, and there's all the lyrics just popping up, and they're reading them right off the teleprompter.
And
so they're doing their own karaoke, kind of, aren't they?
Yeah, pretty much. It's exactly like karaoke.
But can you imagine all those lyrics rumbling around in their head? They've got to get them confused.
Yeah.
Right, but they don't forget the notes of the songs.
Right, that's true. So why is that?
Well, how do you know that? You don't hear it. And who knows, maybe they have sheet music there.
What's that?
Maybe they have sheet music there. You don't know.
Maybe.
There's a possibility, but like with U2, they play all their greatest hits, and Bono usually ends up going off on one of his tangents, and the other guys are just like, all right, dude, we just want to play it. Come on.
A little political statement sometimes thrown in just for fun.
Yeah,
sometimes. Right. He doesn't forget those words.
Well, those are coming off the top of his head.
Right, true. All right.
Ben, how many times have you seen U2?
I have seen them 10 times.
And unfortunately, the last two times I've seen him, I was up in the nosebleeds and kind of on the side of the stage using my binoculars. And I'm like, oh, wow, there's all the lyrics to their new songs.
That would be cool to see.
Just right along.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it's like, oh, wow, cool. I'm just like, hey, check this out. And last time I was with my mom, actually, and she's sitting there, she's like, wow, that's kind of a ripoff.
It isn't, though. I love that you're at a concert with your mom. Can I just say that? Because Bill makes fun of me when I hang with my kids at concerts.
I'm 35, and it's, you know, I'm just like, hey, Ma, you want to go see Tom Petty? Or, you know, like if my wife's working and she can't get off of work, it's like, hey, Mom, Dad, you want to go? And they're just like, all right, cool.
I like a mom that's a Tom Petty fan. That's nice.
She's an American girl, Bill.
I guess she is.
We actually just saw Tom Petty a couple years ago, sixth row with ZZ Top opening.
Oh, my God. Did the beer sweat get on you? Beard sweat?
Luckily, no. That was actually off at Summerfest, which is 10 minutes from where I live. But it was actually my... it was actually my lady and my parents. And
my lady. Yeah. What about your wife? What did she have to say about that?
Not happy. Not happy.
Not happy. Definitely not happy.
Best summer of my life, Ben, was when my mom and I saw Whitesnake 41 times in one summer.
You never take your mom to see a band that has better hair than your mom.
Good rule.
All right.
It's a solid rule.
That is very true.
Ben, thank you so much. Have a great one.
You too. Thanks.
Tell your mom to rock on.
Yeah, she
making
knows.
The devil horns.
She knows.
I think it's cool. Jim went to see John Fogerty with Michael. I took him to see Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
We went as a family to see Van Halen.
Sure.
The family that rocks together.
Careful.
I got nothing.
All right.
Eric's on the line. Hi, Eric.
Hey, guys. About 20 years ago, I saw Led Zeppelin when they did their kind of, I don't know, what reunion tour or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah.
And I was behind the stage seating, and I saw that Plant had a teleprompter and Page had a teleprompter with cord.
Wow. I guess it's a good backup.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you just,
if you just
in case?
Have a moment where
that would
you
look
laugh.
Terrible. Yeah.
Yeah, you can get distracted. Because I was playing in bands at that time, I'm like, and playing Led Zeppelin songs, going, how could he forget these lyrics? He wrote them, you know?
Right.
And I don't forget them, but. You know, I'm not singing them all the time, but it was like, well, you know, you get distracted, you get, you know, something throws you off, and, you know, they're also old, so, you know, maybe that's older, you know, maybe they get a little senior moments or
but
something.
But if you're a performer in that instance, don't you then do the thing, and we've seen guys do this, where you take the microphone and you turn it toward the crowd because you know the crowd knows all the lyrics?
Right. Yeah.
That's a good cover-up,
right?
Help me out here.
Yeah.
But usually that's like at a moment, like in the, you know, the chorus or something where everybody would know it. But that would be a great fallback.
Yeah.
Like, oh, she's buying a stairway. Oh, crap. To what?
To where? And then the crowd would fill it in.
Thank you, Eric.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
That makes sense to have the chord charts. I'm serious. There is so much to remember. And you can sing in your car, and I know you do, and
yeah.
You know every word to every song.
Yeah.
But if all of a sudden you're in front of people and you're responsible.
A lot
like
more
you can,
pressure.
Right. You can sing along to something that's there to
sure.
back you up in case you miss a word here and there.
Yeah.
But when it's all on you.
Yeah. Plus you got the edge staring you down right next to you.
With the double eye, the finger, I'm watching you.
Yeah, you don't want to upset Edge.
Paul Hewson, I'm watching you.
Yep.
Bono.
You know he does it. We'll take a quick break. We've got news and then a lot more show, including we may have solved a mystery from yesterday. We told you about a TV commercial that was a little bit perplexing.
And everybody has every different theory imaginable.
Yeah. So we'll talk to one of our most professional friends from the advertising game to help explain what's what. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN. This song has meaning, Wendy. I mean, all songs have meaning. Most songs have meaning. Have you ever heard this song before?
I don't know. Where to go?
It's a very fast song. Remember in the old days, songs were 3 or 4 minutes? No one has time for a 3 or 4 minute song anymore. Your average song now, 9 seconds. Isn't that crazy?
No, I would like it. Radio stations that would play like, you
right.
know, 9 seconds of a song. Imagine all the hits you could play.
That's true. All right, good point. Yesterday on the show in the morning, I told everybody about a commercial that I had seen 4 or 5 times. I was watching the White Sox game the other night, and they ran this commercial. It's a Volvo commercial for the car Volvo. And it's a little bit perplexing. There's a little bit of a storyline, and I'll explain a little bit of the storyline. But I want to point out that on the line with us right now is our friend Dennis Ryan. Dennis is the CEO of Digital Kitchen that makes great ads. Hi, Dennis. How are you?
Hello, Bill. Hello, Wendy. How are you guys?
Good, Dennis. Bill brought up this commercial, and I will let you explain it, but I just want to jump in and say that there have been 20 different theories that people have been texting us.
Yeah.
So why don't you explain a little of what this commercial is?
Here's what it is in a nutshell. Now, the commercial version that I'm seeing is your standard commercial, and we've been told, and I haven't looked at it yet, but on YouTube, there's a three-minute version of this commercial that explains it a little more, but people are still going back and forth as to what this means. Here's what you see in the commercial. You see four people in a car, in a Volvo. They're driving down a coastal road. The driver is a woman. She looks to be about 30 years old.
She looks older than that.
Do you think older?
Yeah.
How old would you put her at?
In her 50s.
Really?
Yeah.
That different? All right.
She looks my age, if not older.
Yeah? All right. There's a woman between the age of 30 to 50 driving a Volvo. Next to her is a guy who's looking at pictures on a camera. He's just flipping through pictures on a camera. One of them is the woman who's in the driver's seat, dressed up very nicely. The next picture is an older gentleman toasting with a glass of champagne. That older guy is in the seat behind the woman driving. And then there's a fourth guy in the back seat who's just kind of there. He's not doing anything. He's just there for
the ride. I don't know what his story is.
Nobody knows. Nobody knows. All right. So what happens is there's a lot of emotion in the car. You know, they put that song on that we played for a little bit, and that makes everybody a little melancholy. Then at some point, the guy in the back reaches toward the woman in the front and pats her on the shoulder as if to say, everything's going to be okay. Don't worry. And then he pulls out of his pocket a gold wedding band, and he just kind of looks at it and seems kind of sad by it all. Dennis, what does this mean?
You know what it means? It means it's a very well-constructed story because it doesn't begin and end everything. So what are we doing? We're talking about it. That's the biggest win for any commercial. And, Bill, you will have a field day with a three-minute long version.
Really?
I'm watching it right now.
Oh, yeah. If you think the 30 is confusing, what they do is they keep misdirecting you. It starts off, literally, this one starts off with a handsome man at this lighthouse, and he has to go out to his car to think because apparently it's kind of cramped in the lighthouse, and he's sitting there writing a speech to his daughter, but you don't know it's his daughter. First, you think maybe it's his son because the first thing you see are two men dressed up for a wedding. Oh, it's a gay wedding. Oh,
yeah.
That's interesting.
That's kind of what it looked like.
No, and, it's this. Oh,
and there's flowers in the back seat when the two guys.
Exactly.
I'm
they're
so
smiling
puzzled
at each other, you know, and they just keep leading you to different possibilities. You know, where is this guy's wife? Has she died? Is that why he's playing with the ring?
Yeah.
There seems to be an interesting racial difference between the two and an age difference.
Yeah.
That's interesting. They just layer in all these additional potential things that make you get more involved in the story. And I think it's I actually think it's really clever how I literally couldn't just turn it off and walk away. I was like, huh, I wonder what that was about. And that's what you want. You want people thinking.
Right.
Even though it really is not a whole lot to do with an XC90.
No, that's what I was going to say to you.
But you remembered Volvo, didn't you?
I did remember Volvo.
Yes, you did.
Because
yes,
I said yesterday, a lot of times, even with the Super Bowl's most highest touted ads, you watch it, and then when all is said and done, you say, it was for Cracker Jack or for BMW. I'm not sure what it was for, but I knew it was for...
The thing about Volvo is for decades now, they've been talking about safety.
Yeah.
And this one gets a little more into luxury. I mean, the locations where you're seeing this car are fabulous. It's just visually very, very attractive. And so, and it looks like a nice wedding. To your point, Wendy, all the flowers, clearly this is a big deal. And the whole mood is a luxury mood, and it's a hugely important family moment, and everyone's in a Volvo. So it's related in a way, but it's not really on the nose to anything.
All right, but who's the woman? Is that the guy in the back seat's wife? Somebody said he had too much to drink, and the fact that he has the champagne.
Oh, maybe.
He just sat in the back seat because he had too much to drink at his daughter's wedding. He's fondling his ring because he's thinking about the time he and his wife got married, and that's why he kind of touches her shoulder. I don't know who the other two guys is, but the one in the front has a tux on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, well, look, I love the fact that people are debating it. I think it's really interesting. I think the couple in the front seat are newly married. And I think her dad, who's widowed, is sitting behind her. And the best man is sitting behind the groom. But it's odd. It's intriguing. And it's incomplete, which I actually think is a very sophisticated way to advertise a pretty sophisticated automobile. So,
Dennis, do you think he's on blood thinners? I don't know why I think that, but I think he might be on blood thinners.
He's got the look of Coumadin.
Doesn't he? He does. Yeah. That's what I thought, too.
So. I think he would bruise easily. That's an issue.
All right.
But you said something, Bill, that I thought was really smart about the song.
What?
It's kind of a sad song.
It is.
Which is weird for, and so there aren't a whole lot of brands trading in melancholy these days. It's kind of a weird thing. But, it's. I think that's a big part of this piece because there are very few words aside from him reading his speech. It's amazing.
Dennis, I know that over the years you have been in hundreds if not thousands of situations where you've created an ad or a campaign for a product and then you have to sell it to the client. So how do you get in on a pitch meeting with a client like Volvo and say, what we're selling here is kind of a brand of confusion? We want people to not understand what they're seeing.
See, Bill, you say confusion, I'd say intrigue.
Ah.
We want people to get deeper into the story, to figure out what are the layers between these multi-generational different, how many different relationships can we create in the cabin of a Volvo XC90? I think that's, I think, again, because of the web, this is really kind of brilliant how it's worked. They did a 30. It's like, what was that?
Yeah.
Now you can just sit there, watch the next commercial and dial it up on your phone on YouTube and you see a longer version, you watch that, you get more confused, but it turns into just an interesting conversation. I think we're all just looking for surprise and delight and distraction every day. So Volvo's participating in that conversation. So good on them.
Dennis, I know you're the expert in advertising, but I beg to differ with you. The woman driving is the mother of the bride because she's wearing a mother of the bride dress. It's like a beige lace kind of over jacket. It is not anything you'd wear to your wedding. Plus, she's several years older than the passenger in the front seat.
See, now that's a very plausible theory, and you could push that, and that makes sense. At the same point, she is pictured in the wedding dress on the Hasselblad camera, which you'll only see in the long-term form. So why is she wearing this? Is this a second marriage? Why is she marrying a guy so much younger than her?
Cuckoo-ca-choo.
Yeah, I tell you what, Mrs. Robinson, there you go.
Dennis, you know what I was thinking? Not this time when I saw it. I watched it the other night during the White Sox game, but the second or third time I saw it, I thought, much like almost any great novel or almost any book that you read, those first few pages, you really have no idea what's going on, unless they say point blank, John was a guy who lived in Boston and he did this for a living and this is his mom. You're kind of reaching around in the dark trying to figure out what's what, but I've never seen it to this extent in commercial form where you're forced on the spot to figure out what everything is so quickly.
Well, you're right as far as the human story, but as far as just the visual story, oh, that's a good-looking car.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, it's a cool-looking place.
Yeah.
Man, that's a fancy country club. Wow, what a pretty lighthouse. So you're already getting positive cues, and then the family just pulls you in more. But you're right. When you're paying as much as you are for 30 seconds of media during a White Sox game or, God forbid, the Olympics, something gets very expensive.
Yeah.
A lot of people sit there, we have to use every second. But I would argue that the most compelling persuasive things, the things that really resonate and stick with us, are emotional. So if you can make people care or be curious or be engaged with whatever is happening, I actually think that means more than saying, the XC90 reduces the decibel noise by 30%.
Right. Right.
Okay.
But you know what? My takeaway was this, and I know this is subliminal, but this is what I took away, and I took it away every time I saw this commercial, is I'd say to myself, no matter what the event is in your life, maybe it's a very happy wedding or maybe it's some sad thing like somebody. The thing with the ring made me think that somebody died, that his wife had died.
Yeah.
No matter what the event is, Volvo will get you there,
Well, that's kind of it, in that it's a center point that connects family. They're all in the same place. I mean, if Wendy's theory is right, and that's the mother, it really does wonder, okay, so why is she driving? Why isn't the husband driving? Was he convicted of a DUI and lose his license?
Yes.
And why is he playing with a ring in the back? I mean, you could go absolutely Faulknery on the level of meanings, which is interesting.
Yep.
All right.
And fun to play with.
It is fun to play with. And are you good for time? Because we have some listeners that have some fascinating theories, and we need to discuss them.
That would be wonderful.
You're good, Dennis. All right, stick around. More with Dennis Ryan, the CEO of Digital Kitchen. We're talking about that Volvo ad that nobody seems to be able to figure out. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Wendy, did you see the new Sweet Allie's TV commercial where you're driving a car and Dennis is sitting next to you and I'm in the back seat and Steve Bertrand's back there and we're just looking lovingly at a gluten-free muffin? You've seen this ad, right?
Yes, and there's a big glob of gluten in the trunk buckled down so it doesn't escape.
Yep, very effective ad. Dennis Ryan is with us, the CEO of Digital Kitchen. We're all trying our best to put the puzzle pieces together to figure out a Volvo ad that nobody seems to understand.
All right. We have a bunch of people on the line that want to give their theories, and I, for some reason, I think Sharon has it nailed. Sharon, Dennis Ryan, Bill, Wendy, what's going on?
Hi. I've seen the end of that commercial. I believe the elderly man, and well, maybe he's not elderly, in the back seat is getting married on the beach. I swear I saw that part of the commercial before I saw the one that you guys are talking about, but I saw that one last night, and it didn't have the ending. But it said something, you know, in the little print at the end of the ad, it said something wedding.com. So I think it's been a tease.
Well, so was your theory that the older man is getting remarried to the woman driving and maybe those are their kids?
No, not to the woman driving. It's a different woman. I think that's his adult daughter.
I think it's his
husband.
Daughter, too.
Where's her husband? She just got married. She's not going to get in a car with her dad and brothers.
Hmm.
Well, I think they're going through the past. I think they're taking us from the beginning when he first got married, had his children. Now his daughter is taking him to get remarried, and the mom must have passed away or something.
Oh, no.
Oh,
that's
like
sad.
That.
They're time travelers. Is that what you're saying?
That's the way it looked to me. That's the way I took it. And then, like, I didn't even know it was for a car company until you guys were talking about it yesterday.
That's bad.
Well, thank you for your theory, Sharon. Dennis, you mentioned is it a Hasselblad camera that everybody seems to be mentioning? Why does anybody know what kind of camera that is?
Well, it's just a famous kind of camera from the film era. It was a square format. It's something portrait photographers use. So it's a very high-end camera, and frankly, it's kind of a throwback. Why would you do one now when you can get 4K images off a phone or a simple digital camera?
So maybe they are time traveling.
They might be time travelers.
So that's the time traveling thing. Makes a ton of sense.
But Dennis, do you think they purposely layered all these little some clues, some false clues to make this more entertaining and interesting? They did, didn't they?
Absolutely. And not just more entertaining and interesting, but also put you in a certain place. Like when I grew up, we didn't have a Hasselblad camera in the family. That's
right.
A certain kind of family has that. We didn't have a massive Tudor country club with stone and a beautifully trimmed hedge.
Yeah.
You know, there's everything they do visually around this creates a certain mood. And you look at this, you're like, well, those guys are, they must be doing pretty well because that's really some nice looking environments and some beautiful things surrounding this. I don't think the guy is a lighthouse keeper, but I'm not really sure why he pulled off there, aside from the fact that it looks really awesome.
But in the past, Volvo has targeted lighthouse owners as potential buyers of their car, right? I mean,
well, the only problem is they take very short drives.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there really isn't a lot of room on those.
So you keep the mileage down. You can lease it.
Yeah, I tell you what, you can get a 56 Volvo with like 30 miles on it. That's awesome.
That's insane.
All right. Now, someone has texted that the Hasselblad camera is more expensive than the Volvo.
Maybe.
Wow. See?
Maybe.
That would make sense. Possibly.
All right. We have one more theory here because I'm telling you, since you brought this up yesterday, people are putting stuff on our Facebook page.
Right.
They're still texting us. Maureen, what's your theory on the Volvo commercial?
Hi. I'm loving all the different theories. So mine is that the woman is absolutely older than you guys think. And it's her husband. So there's a family of four in the car.
Yeah.
The mom is driving. The husband is behind her. And they're just having a sentimental moment remembering their own marriage.
That's interesting. Why aren't they sitting next to each other like a happily married couple?
He's a drunk.
Is that true?
It's a goofy family of four and the mom's driving.
Oh. Well, the mom can drive, but I would still put the husband, if I was doing the seating arrangement, I'd put the husband in the passenger seat. And that guy in the back seems more confused by the commercial than any of us are. Doesn't he?
He's the fourth man, Bill.
Is that what it is?
The fourth man is always outside.
I guess.
I think it's a I think it's a mom and dad and their two sons.
That just married their daughter away, or they're reminiscing? Well, is the son looking at the camera of the mom and dad? No.
Yeah, the dad making a toast in one of them.
Right.
Yeah,
the other one looks the same.
Yep.
He's so hoisting up
either the daughter's wedding, or they just renewed their vows.
Uh-huh.
All right, but I think they're definitely a couple.
Are you going to buy a Volvo right now?
Hold on. I think I got a break. You might be onto something, Maureen.
Is that true?
If you go on YouTube and 2016 Volvo XC90 wedding commercial, twin engine plug-in hybrid.
Oh.
I don't know.
Oh, maybe.
4 second mark, there's a shot of the bride. I thought it was the driver. It's another woman who's not in the car.
Right, but that almost looks like the driver at a younger age, though. And if it's an old camera, then that's...
Right. Yeah, but it's a digital version of a Hasselblad. There's a digital screen on it, so it's who knows if it's film or a combo thing.
Well, maybe.
More and more intriguing.
Dennis, any chance the woman is going to marry the Volvo? That can't happen, right? There's no state that will allow that.
I don't think so, but if it runs in Europe, maybe.
Maybe in Europe.
Maureen, thanks for your theory. We appreciate it.
It's a good one.
All right. Do we have time for one more?
Yeah, do one more real quick. Do one more.
Please?
Oops, Kate.
Oh. Yes, no, I'm so glad. What?
Were you just yelling, please be me, please, please?
No, I was saying please.
All right, okay. It worked.
All right, go ahead.
What if the guy with the ring is the best man?
The older guy could be the best man. Why not?
Yep.
And the other three are getting married.
No. Like, we could go any... You don't think he could be the best man?
Well,
no,
who's getting married then?
And maybe he's on the way to the church. I like the idea that the bride doesn't, you know, ride in the car after the wedding or before the wedding. She goes in her own car.
Right.
But they have pictures of the wedding that's already taken place, though.
Oh, wait a minute.
What is it, Dennis?
You might be onto something. Imagine if he writes this thing about her wedding. That's the thing the four people in the car who are all one family are thinking.
Yeah.
He gives a great speech. Although the son says something, I don't think he calls him dad. He said that was a great speech. I think he uses the guy's name. But either way, maybe this is her funeral.
Oh, no.
Oh, now I'm
sad. Oh, that's not good.
And they're shooting back to the time before. And maybe the fourth man was her groom who cannot really face anything.
That's a sad scenario you present, Dennis.
See, again, melancholy.
Yeah, very melancholy.
It's the new black.
Kate.
Kate,
you don't agree with this.
I'm sad now because that's pretty strong.
That's very strong.
I know.
Give it 5 minutes. We'll come up with something else.
Okay, wait. But the guy in a tux and the woman all dressed up, they're not going to a funeral or coming from a funeral.
Yes, you're right.
And what's with that flowered shirt?
Yeah, that's a mistake.
I like it.
You like it?
I like it. Kate, thank you so much for calling. And thanks for putting 5,000 spins on this commercial. All I know is I want to go buy a Volvo.
You got to buy a Volvo. Dennis, like we said earlier, this equals effectiveness. I mean, Volvo really set out to do something, have people talk about an ad, and it's working.
It's working like gangbusters, and frankly, hopefully it'll spawn even more talk because it's just interesting.
Right.
And it's interesting all around the brand and what the brand means. That's it. I think it's pretty terrific. What's also brilliant is if you're looking, and God knows why you do this, at all five versions of the ads or whatever they are, they're intentionally telling different stories, literally to create confusion.
Right.
You know, on the dynamic between the people, not around the car.
Dennis, would you call this commercial our generation Speedy Alka-Seltzer?
I think so. I don't think there's any question about it. I think it is clearly that.
It is.
I got to be honest with you. I've moved on from the people, and I couldn't care less. All I want to know is how do they make all those drink holders look so good?
Yeah.
Wow.
They're
like tray tables in the back like an airplane.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So true.
That's a kick-ass car.
So you're thinking, I got to look at one of those Volvos.
Oh, yeah, and they're safe and they're Swedish.
Yeah.
Which is really all you can ask for.
What's better than that? Dennis, it's always fun to talk to you. We'll talk to you for sure after the Super Bowl to analyze the commercials, hopefully sooner, but we really appreciate it. Thanks for being here.
It's always fun. Thanks for having me.
Thanks,
we'll
Dennis. That's Dennis Ryan. He's the CEO of Digital Kitchen, creating some of the best ads you've ever seen and heard. We'll take a quick break and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Great job, Steve. Thank you very much. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Bill, his voice is getting...
cashed in.
You're cashed.
I'm cashed. My voice is cashed in. I sound more adult, though, don't I?
I got to be honest with you. This is the best your voice has ever sounded.
Thank you for that. Thanks.
Usually, you can totally tell us apart. Today, you can't.
Right. Today, it's a little harder. It is.
The scruffy twins.
Right.
We were talking about the Volvo commercial, and I will put it to bed, but I just have to read you this text from 217.
Mm-hmm.
You and I, during the commercial break, watched the 3-minute version on YouTube.
Yeah, very emotional.
It is pretty
it really
emotional.
Is. Yeah.
So we watched that, and 217 says, OMG, this is so easy. The mother of the bride is driving.
Mm-hmm.
The brother and the dad of the bride are in the back seat. The brother's husband is in the passenger seat. They were just at the wedding. The dad is very sad about giving away his daughter. If you listen and watch the 3-minute version, it's easy to understand. The bride is not there.
That's all very plausible.
I really thought the old guy's wife was dead. They were going to the funeral.
Except it says wedding on it, like on the.
I mean, I'm just from what I ended up half watching it on TV. I'm
right.
Like, playing their song.
Steve, I assumed also that somebody perished. I didn't know who, I didn't know how, but just there's a tone of melancholia that leads you to believe that somebody's no longer with us.
Melancholia. Yeah. Is that the name of your new record?
Yes. I think that is the name of somebody's record, isn't it? I think somebody has a record called
that.
Yeah.
Someone else.
John Cougar Melancholia, I think. That's one of his first records.
Are you crying?
Yes.
All right, so after reading that text, someone else, 708, has texted us, and it says, go to Volvo and click the glove box, and there is something in there that says, sucker.
that wouldn't shock me. It's ridiculous how much time, like the other day when it was on during the White Sox game, I just kept watching it, trying to figure out, wait, if that guy's not married to her, wait, no, they can't be married because he'd sit next to her. No, wait, like I'm going back and forth trying to figure it out. And again, as Dennis Ryan just said, that means they've done their job, is that we didn't just watch it and move on. We're thinking about it.
We've devoted an hour of a radio show to it. But it's not just us. Other people have their comments as well. And it's funny because... there are times that I like to drive. We have a new car, and I like to drive it. And when we're together as a family, Jim always says, I want to drive. And I said, why? And he goes, because the dad drives. I said, but the mom can drive too.
You know, I think because there was so much time where that was the thing, that if the family was out, the dad drove the car.
It's 2016.
But not right. That's what I'm saying is those days are gone, right? I hope, I would think.
Well, yes. And when Jim and I go out, it's like, you know, I haven't driven this in a while. I just let him drive, you know, because otherwise he'll be like, you're following this car too closely.
Oh, watch
out for that.
I'm very guilty of that.
Do you do that, Steve?
Yeah. We just drove back and forth to Ohio, and Sharon would have been more than happy to drive. I'm like, nah, I got it. I'll do it.
Because if you drive, you're criticizing a lot.
You know what's strange? When I've told you this. When I was a kid, we went to Florida almost every summer, and we alternated. We would fly 1 year back and forth, then we'd drive. We did that forever. And the trip from Chicago to Florida was always my dad driving. There wasn't a single moment that my mom was behind the wheel, and there's no reason for it. Her driving record was just as strong as my dad's. They both good drivers. It just wouldn't have occurred to anybody in the family that, hey, just for a little bit, let's switch off. It just didn't happen.
I didn't tell you guys I actually got a ticket, too.
Oh, you did?
What?
Yeah. I know, it's weird.
For speeding or something else?
No, for speeding. And but get this, it was in Indiana.
Yeah.
And it doesn't say on the ticket what I owe. It says go online in like something like 10 to 14 days.
Well, it's the state that works, so of course they were working when they issued you a ticket.
Right.
Trooper was very friendly.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah, and I was very guilty. But I thought it was odd that, you know, they wouldn't say you owe $100
or something.
Right,
it should be standard on the ticket.
Is it a variable? Does it depend on how many they've written that day? Or
no, it depends how far over the limit you were.
I know, but you'd think that would be spelled out.
It should have been. I think it should have been.
Why? You go online, you check it, you probably can pay it online too.
It said go online in 10 to 14 days. Like, yeah, my record's not going to be up.
It should be instantaneous. Like, they should have
someone's
a posted.
Someone's not working in Indiana right now.
No. Oh, no. And Steve, of course, you mentioned that you're on WGN Radio, right?
I actually said I was Wendy Snyder.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
So they're going to charge you double. They will charge you double.
Spring's part of it.
When we drove to Nashville, Jim started out, and it's like a 6.5 hour drive. So he drove most of it, and then I said, just let me know when you're tired. And he said, okay.
Yeah.
And then I drove like for the last 2 hours, I think. So he did most of it. So we flip-flop and stuff.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, when we took our family trips, the drive down to Florida was like a two-day drive, essentially. And there were times where we would stop. Like, they didn't have a set destination on that first day. It was like, when my dad
gets
tired,
we'll get as far as we can.
That's when we'll go to Valdosta, Georgia, and get a room. But then you go, or my mom, who hadn't been tired or driving, and why couldn't she just drive for a few hours?
Can I just say something? I may be totally off base here. But guys don't want to admit weakness ever.
Yeah, I guess there's that.
So it'd be like, I'm going to drive my family to Florida, and yeah, I'm going to drive as long as I can. I'm not going to make the little woman drive. I know that was back then. I don't know if it still goes on now.
I know with Terry and myself, we've switched off on those on similar drives.
But you guys switched off changing diapers, too. I bet your dad didn't change many diapers.
I don't think he did. I'd be shocked if he did. I don't think so.
No, but we do meet all the women who changed your diapers.
Yes.
They come on the radio with us.
We've had them on as frequent guests on the show.
Marcy, is it a thing that, why can't mom drive ever?
Well, for years and years, we would always take the family trip from here to visit my mother's relatives in Odom, Texas. It's almost to the border of Mexico. It's a long drive. And one year, I didn't go. My parents went, and my dad would always drive. And one time, he let her drive. Because he was tired, he fell asleep. When he woke up, he's like, where are we? She said, I don't know. They were completely lost, and she had no idea where they were. He was livid. And when I hear her tell this story, I have to laugh because my mother's a horrible driver. So he should have known better to begin with.
So that's why he wouldn't let her drive.
That's right, because she would get lost.
All right, I guess that's a valid reason.
Well, it was just that once.
That's all it takes, though. How far off the path, how far away did you guys end up?
Well, I wasn't with them, but they were halfway there. They were lost in Arkansas somewhere.
Nobody wants that.
So, yeah. And she didn't know where they were. She didn't, you know, the interstate. She didn't know anything. I don't think, I mean, you know, my mother's like 80 now, so this is a long time ago, and she was always a bad driver and didn't pay attention to the signs or anything, and I'm sure she just took an exit that she shouldn't have, and the next thing you know, she has no idea where they are.
Oh, no.
Well, thank you for calling in, Marcy. We appreciate it. And I drive, we both kind of drive, but I'm paying more attention now because we have this new Toyota Highlander, which I love driving.
Yeah.
And I guess when we go somewhere, I just assume Jim's going to drive.
Yeah.
But now I make a little bit of a more of a fight because I like to drive the new car.
Oh, sure. But that makes sense.
You know, Dad's driving on vacations. They don't want to admit weakness, I believe. You know, oh, I'm not tired. I can go straight through, honey.
But isn't it strange that it's just assumed in any situation, if you're going somewhere of any distance, well, the guy would be driving, right? That's the father of the family. That's the guy that has to be behind the wheel.
That's what Jim has been saying lately. But again, we have a new car, so he's just looking for an excuse to drive.
Right.
Ed, it's a guy thing or what?
Oh, my God, yeah. You might as well hand in your band card if you're not going to drive that.
God.
Oh, yeah, come on. I never change any diapers for crying out loud. Come on.
How old are you?
I'm 56.
You never changed a diaper once in your whole life?
No.
Wow. No.
Did you have kids?
Three.
Really?
Wow. How did
now,
you...
Now, the grandkid, I'll change the grandkid's diaper, but I'm not changing... I never change any of our kids' diapers, no.
How did you justify that with your wife with the three kids? How did you make that right?
I don't know. I just...
Did
never
she
did
work?
It. Never
Ed...
just, every time you smell, you just hand it to her.
Oh, God. Wow.
Ed, did your wife work when you... The
oh, kid... yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So she had to work all day and then
change
handle
diapers
the kids
at night.
Too.
Well, yeah, that's yeah.
That's the way it goes? Is that what you were going to say, little Eddie?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that I did things that she didn't do, you know? I mean...
Like what?
Shirk your responsibilities.
Well, there you go, yeah. You got it, Bill.
Well, good for you if you made it through not changing a diaper.
The first one I ever did when driving, I had a little Porsche that I was going out to Boston with to see my brother. And my dad always says, don't let anybody drive your car. And my mom grew up in Austria. She drove a stick shift. I wouldn't let her drive, but I sat behind the wheel sleeping with my foot on the accelerator for 4 hours through Ohio.
That seems safe.
She drove with like a postman across the thing, yeah.
Well, good for you if it's working for
you.
You're
on the interstate. Huh?
I said if it's working for you.
Don't change it.
Are you still married?
It's wonderful being a man. Huh?
Yeah.
Are you still married?
Oh, I got the best wife in the world. She would never leave me.
Oh, God. Ed, I hope she's not listening. Ed, not his real name.
She's not allowed to listen to the radio, Wendy. She's in the kitchen cooking where she's supposed to be.
She just has to listen to the same stations I listen to, that's all.
I hope you're joking.
I am, but I'm not joking about the diaper or the driving.
All right. Well, Ed, have a great weekend. You and the little lady, okay?
Thanks, Ed.
Thanks for calling.
All right, a quick break and then more show. You can reach us easily at 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
And it's a summer baseball weekend on WGN-TV. Tonight at 7, the White Sox battle Seattle. It's Elvis night tonight, by the way. Saturday at 3, it's Cubs-Dodgers. Sunday at 1, the finale of the Sox-Seattle series. Watch it all this weekend on WGN-TV.
In honor of it being Elvis night, I'm going to shoot up my television while I'm watching the White Sox game. Hi, everybody. It's us, Sick and Sicker. We're glad that you're listening. We're at 312-981-7200. Call in or text in.
I know. You are sounding worse, and it's the end of the show. Yesterday I kept cracking. So yeah. Today I sound better.
You sound a lot better today.
And you will tomorrow when it doesn't matter.
I know.
A lot of people are calling about listener Ed who was on.
Please understand, and I'm not defending it. I'm just saying that it is a generational thing.
He's our age.
He is our age, but we grew up like it was just assumed that the father was the breadwinner and the breadwinner sits behind the wheel when the family's going somewhere. I like to believe that that's no longer the case, that there's more equality. Don't you hope?
I don't know. So, but the whole not changing diapers things, though, too. He'll change his grandkids.
I remember not just my dad not changing diapers, but the guys in their circle, that's the thing that the wife did. The guys don't change the diapers, but I wanted to be more hands-on.
And you were by changing diapers. I was more hands-on. Yeah. Jim probably changed more diapers than I did.
Is that true? Yeah.
He was quicker at it.
Oh.
708 says, my wife and I have a 3-month-old, and I think it's insane for me not to change a diaper.
Yeah, it is.
630 says, oh my God, my husband makes me do at least half, if not most, of the driving. And
that's great. Good.
I'm the wife. I do 95% of the diapers, all the night feedings, and all the driving. Oh, 847, you married the wrong guy.
The last two cars I had prior to the Jeep that I currently drive were convertibles. And I loved being in the passenger seat. Like Terry would drive, and I loved just laying back. Because if you're driving, you can't enjoy the fact that you're out in the open driving. So, you know, she would drive and I'd sit in the passenger seat and just kind of recline back. It was the best. I loved it.
I have never had a convertible.
They're a lot of fun and so practical here in Chicago.
I know.
We have one now.
Do you have one?
Yeah.
Isn't it? It's fantastic.
I love it. It's a bug so I can drive with my head above the windshield.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just looking out.
Yeah.
Can't you do that in any car?
Well, the roofs aren't open on most of them. This one, you know, it's open.
Well, yeah, it's a convertible.
Straight, yeah.
When I was a kid, and I remember this day like it were yesterday, I was three. I was 3 years old, and my grandfather got a convertible, and I had never even seen one, much less driven in one. And he picked us up, and I sat in the back seat and was just astounded that we were driving in a car that didn't have a ceiling. I couldn't believe it. And at the age of three, I went, I have got to get one of these.
So you've always wanted one.
It took me years and years and years, but... Yeah, I ended up having two of them and loved every minute of it.
Messes my hair up too much.
There is that.
How do you wear a hat in a convertible?
A staple gun. I just staple gun the hat to my head.
Because really, I mean, it's fun when your hair's blowing all around, but if you're going somewhere nice,
right.
I just spent, you know, an hour fixing my hair.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, and if you do this, people, I don't mean to make fun of you, but when you have a convertible and you drive around with the windows up, I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't get that either. Now, from the wind tunnel effect that you get in a convertible, here's what I noticed. If you're in the front seat, for the most part, the windshield does protect you, unless you're very tall like Steve. The windshield does protect you. If you're in the back seat, that's where the problem is. You know,
but haven't you seen people with just themselves driving and all the windows?
Oh,
are
yeah,
up?
I don't get that.
I don't
at
understand.
All.
Why do you have it then?
I don't understand it. Yeah, that's a little freaky.
All right. Kathy is giving us a little story of why she doesn't drive. Kathy, go ahead.
No, it's why my father would never let me touch his car again.
Oh.
It was 1977, the year Elvis died, and we were driving back from St. Petersburg. And my father got tired, so I said, shut your eyes for a while. I'll drive. And I was a sophomore in college. And instead of heading back to Chicago, I drove to Memphis.
Well, it was perfect because Elvis had died.
Exactly. And it was August. It was just the right timing. He was livid.
But I know from living in the southwest suburbs growing up that I-57 goes straight to Memphis.
Right. So, yeah, but I think we were coming up. More east than that,
you
know,
did.
Up through Indiana.
I always thought
I got on 57 and headed to Memphis. He was asleep.
It was always so strange to me when you'd leave from Chicago to head toward the southwest suburbs. There's a giant sign touting the fact that that road will get you to Memphis.
I know.
When there's 11 big cities in between there and Memphis.
It makes you think that you're going to be there in no time.
Right.
That's how we went to Nashville, and I'm like, oh, my God, we're almost there.
Right. Well, hey, I did get my payback. I've been to Graceland about 5 times.
Oh.
My husband ended up being an Elvis freak.
Oh, well, that worked out nicely.
Elvis
then.
Night at the Guaranteed Rate Field tonight. White
you don't
Sox.
Have to say that yet.
Oh.
November 1st.
U.S. Cellular, Elvis Night, so why don't you go see all the Elvi. Kathy, thank you so much for calling. We appreciate it. I insist on driving. My husband thinks we're in Germany.
I'm not sure why.
Other side of the road?
Is that why?
I think it's the Autobahn where you can drive. Like,
No speed limit? All right.
Do they drive on the same side we do in Germany? I know in England they don't.
I don't know.
You know what my question is? The first car I ever bought was a stick shift, and I sort of kind of knew how to drive it.
Yeah.
But I wanted a stick shift car.
Yeah.
My cousin Susie, who knows how... Happy birthday, Susie. She knows
happy
how
birthday,
to drive
Susie.
It. So she went with me, and then I got the keys, and I went to go home and said, here, Suze, go ahead, drive
sure.
it home. And she said, no, you're doing it. And that was the way to
wow.
completely learn.
That's dangerous, huh?
But now I'm thinking, if you're in a country where you drive on the other side of the road,
yeah.
the stick shift is on the right instead of... is on the left instead of the right.
Well, the stick shift would be in the middle.
Right,
so, yeah, it would be on the opposite side as normal.
I can't even imagine that.
That might take a little getting used to.
Wow.
Right.
That's pretty exciting.
That's true. Happy birthday, Susie. That's our tribute to Susie, our birthday tribute. All right, we need to take a break. Steve has the news and then more discussion. We're 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Not only is it my cousin Susie's birthday, which we said
happy birthday, Susie.
You know what else it is?
I do not.
It is National Toilet Paper Day.
Is that today?
Yes.
That's fantastic.
Yes. Every year on August 26th, we celebrate Toilet Paper Day. I don't know why we do.
Well, it's a miracle is what it is.
National Toilet Paper Day is not like other holidays. There are no gifts, no parades, no jolly people in suits.
Right.
No one gets the day off of work. It is not a parking meter holiday.
Should be.
Just cartoon bears walking around with it stuck to their feet.
Right. What sells toilet paper, or is in the business they like to call it facial quality tissue, like cartoon bears?
Although, if you don't have Kleenex, that's what you use it for, to blow your nose. And we've been doing a lot of that
right.
today.
That's true. But it was always striking me strange that even though we know what it's used for, a lot of times it says right there on the package, facial quality tissue, but few people use it primarily for their face. You're doing it wrong if you're using it primarily for your face.
Well, I have noticed in various restaurants lately when I use the facilities
yeah.
or here at work
yeah.
they only go single ply. And I have to be honest with you.
Right.
They would save more money getting the two ply because you would use less of it.
That's
if it's
true.
Single, I mean, I don't know how other women do it, but when I take toilet paper off the roll, I roll it around my hand again and again and again and again when it's single ply.
Yeah. Like spooling pasta almost.
Kind of.
Similar. Yeah.
In fact, I saw Michael Sneed in the bathroom.
Yeah, that was weird.
She was spooling pasta.
That's even weirder.
Steve Bertrand mentioned the Bears. Do we remember what advertising that is? What brand of toilet paper?
In my head, I'm thinking Cottonelle, but it might not be.
It's not doing its job.
It's Viva.
It is
no, that's paper towels. The Bears is Charmin, I
bet. Is it Charmin?
Yeah, I think it's Charmin.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's quilted northern bath tissue that's behind the National Toilet Paper Day. At least they're having a 24-hour sale on Amazon.
Yeah.
And encouraging consumers to sign up for repeat delivery service.
Yep.
And
that's the one thing. You do always run out of.
Yes.
Get as much of it as you can. You'll need it eventually.
And before there was toilet paper, and I won't get descriptive here, but people would use whatever was around.
You know?
Outhouses, there's
leaves.
Things that, yeah. Yeah. In 1857, Joseph C. Gayetti began selling toilet paper with his name printed on each sheet.
Mm-hmm. He was a visionary. He was a toilet paper visionary.
Because he could see in places right. Because his face was right. On the toilet paper.
Ironically, he lived for a long time in a teepee. Isn't that ironic?
It is. He marketed the brand as medical tissue for hemorrhoids. So that's why it first came around the toilet paper. Otherwise, we'd still be...
And what year was that?
1857.
Wow.
The U.S. spent $9.6 billion on standard toilet paper last year. No, but that's something... I'm telling you, I would rather have, every time Jim goes to Sam's Club, I'm mm-hmm. like, buy the big one.
Right.
Because that's something you don't want to run out.
Right.
Looking for a cheap wedding dress, Charmin and CheapChicWeddings.com hold a toilet paper wedding dress contest every year.
What does that say about the bride?
She knows it's not going to rain.
Last year, about 1,500 women took part of the challenge. You can receive $10,000.
Wow. Wow.
And if you're just curious, how big is a square of toilet tissue? Can you spare a square?
That's the phrase.
The standard size of a sheet of toilet paper was once 4.5 inches wide and 4.5 inches long, but the size may vary by half an inch or more.
Sure, just by a little bit. Now, I'm sure you'll remember as a child, there were commercials that ran for, boy, I would say maybe 15 or 20 years of a man in a grocery store, balding man.
Mr. Whipple?
Yeah. That would
Whipple?
Be your Mr.
Whipple.
Mr. Whipple.
Right.
And he would warn people, because evidently in the 60s, you couldn't just walk past a display of toilet paper. You felt the need to cuddle it and squeeze it, but he would warn people as politely as he possibly could, do not squeeze the Charmin.
He said, please.
Yeah, please don't squeeze the Charmin. Please. So we're to believe that a store employed a man to just stand there all day and tell people that it would be in their best interest to not squeeze toilet paper as they walk by.
I got the impression that he owned the store.
Was it his store? Well, then that says even more. Weren't there more important things to do all day, every day, than tell kindly women to not squeeze toilet paper as they walk by?
It was really a stupid campaign.
It really was, but it worked. That was a very popular toilet paper.
And you never forgot, because please don't squeeze the Charmin.
Right, right.
All right, well, happy National Toilet Paper Day to you, Vicky.
I'm going to squeeze the Charmin today.
In honor of
I am.
National Toilet Paper Day. Vicky, what's going on?
Well, I taught middle school for 25 years, basically seventh graders, and you know how they can get so embarrassed at the slightest things. And knowing perfectly well that they were using toilet paper at home to blow their nose, within the first couple of days of school, I would bring a roll and I would set it on the desk and they'd say, what's that for? And I said, I don't know about you, but at home we blow our nose on it. And it sort of broke the tension.
Yeah.
And they realized that it was okay, you know, because toilet paper is a lot cheaper than buying the tissue in a box.
I know. If Bill and I weren't both suffering some sneezes today, I wouldn't have bought a box of Kleenex for us. I just use what toilet paper.
Well, you know, and it just kind of made it okay for them to come to school. And if they had a cold, then it wouldn't be unusual for them to bring a toilet, you know, a roll of toilet paper and set it on their desk. And it's like, oh, if anybody needs any, just help yourself. And sometimes they would.
You were a cool teacher, Vicki.
Oh, I hope so.
You definitely were.
Some of them thought it was okay. Some of them thought maybe they were glad when their year was over with me. But I like to think they learned something. And if that was just that it's okay, don't be embarrassed to use toilet paper to blow your nose, then I accomplished something.
Right.
How will you be celebrating National Toilet Paper Day today?
Well, right now I'm on my way to a storage shed to look for a tank to take over to the Boys and Girls Club so they can put their corn snake in it.
Wow.
That's how it should be celebrated.
Thank you, Vicki. We appreciate you calling.
Are you ever apprehensive? There have been times in my life where I've needed to go to the store to just buy that, and then I feel weird just walking to the store with one thing, because then anyone who sees you goes, wow.
He just ran
out. What's going on over there?
I know.
I know that's ridiculous, because
pretty much everybody buys
it.
What do you buy then, like a Hershey bar?
I get like a couple of little things that nobody needs, just so that and it's weird, because nobody cares. Everybody who's in the store probably is using it or buying it at some point, but I can't just walk to the store with one.
I know what you mean.
And we do what you do is we buy like the one that has 30 rolls.
Yeah.
So then you go, wow, what's wrong with you? What happened to you? I don't want anyone saying that in store. So I buy 5 or 6 other things. Like they won't notice the giant thing of toilet paper if I have Funyuns.
And a thing of Play-Doh.
Right. That's perfectly normal.
Well, the Funyuns, that's why you need extra toilet paper.
Yeah, that's what's causing the problem at the house.
Not that fun.
Right. And I always want to say when I'm in line, could you guys hurry up? You know, the people in front of me. I got to get out of here quick. Just hurry up. All right. We have more.
Oh, wait. We can take one quick call, then we have to take a break. AJ.
Yes.
It's your turn.
I think there's a conspiracy going on. You know how cereal boxes are getting smaller and smaller?
Yeah.
They don't think we notice?
Yeah.
Well, check the size of your toilet roll, because it used to fit the whole width of the little spinner inside.
Yeah, you're right.
It's getting smaller.
It's like, you know, if you have a recessed toilet paper holder, like in your wall, which we do in one of the bathrooms, it would fit in like almost kind of tightly. And now there's so much room because you're right. The width of the roll is getting narrower.
It is.
Yep.
Yep.
They think we're not noticing.
We notice.
We know.
That stinks, no pun intended, because you have to use more toilet paper then.
Right, so true.
That's right.
Good call, AJ. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you for calling.
There's two different brands, and I don't remember what the two brands are, but we have one of those recessed toilet paper areas in our bathroom, right? So it goes into
the wall. That's what I just mentioned.
With other brands, we can go down to 2 or 3 or 4 squares and the roll stays where it's supposed to be. But there are two brands in particular that anytime we buy those, it unravels with 25 or 30 sheets left. And to
you
look
go
at the
over,
rolls,
don't you?
Well, no, it's sometimes over, sometimes under.
Wait.
But to look at the rolls, they all look the same. I don't know why those two brands, whenever we buy those, it just unravels
by
towards
itself.
The end. Yeah, on its own.
Because there's a whole controversy about whether you go over or under, but you usually do one or the other, and you are the only person.
We switch off.
I cannot accept that. You are the one that you and your wife, every once in a while, you sleep on one side, she sleeps on another.
Yeah, we don't have designated sides of the bed.
That is totally crazy.
Everybody says that.
And the fact you have to pick over or under at a house.
No,
you can't alternate.
I noticed on the last couple that I put in, I went out of my way to make sure. I go, well, the last time it was an over, so this time, just to be equitable, it'll be an under. And I don't know who else is noticing that but me in the house, but I just like the variety of it all, you know?
I just don't get you, and I applaud you.
Yeah.
Because variety is the spice of life.
Variety is the spice of life.
And your life is very spicy. I just have never heard anybody, it's either the roll goes over or the roll goes under. I'm an under girl.
But people are so set in their ways, and you don't have to be. The world is a better place if you just, you know, mix it up a little bit.
No, you can't.
No?
You get. Kevin, are you an over or under roller?
I'm a personally an over. You got to go over, right? But it alternates in my house. It drives me crazy.
See, how about that?
But now, will you fix it?
77% of the time I fix it.
It has taken me, how old is Michael? 17. It's taken me 17 years to train everybody.
Yeah.
But if it's always coming under.
Always.
I can tell when my mother-in-law has been over, though, because it goes
She'll
over.
Transfer it?
And the boys will change it back before I see it.
How about that? A quick break, more discussion. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200, it's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right, it's Bill, it's Wendy.
I just noticed Veronica Carter is in the newsroom, and that's because Judy Pilek every year takes National Toilet Paper Day off. She's been doing that for years.
She seems like she'd be an over, though.
Don't you think about Judy? Yeah. Yep.
Gotta go under.
Yeah?
Or it's gonna keep rolling and rolling and rolling.
Interesting.
I'm with Bill. I just, however it goes on.
Mix it up.
Yep.
Yeah.
You guys do not pay attention to details.
Oh.
Evidently you are not as anal as I am. No, totally no pun intended there at all.
Are you sure?
I swear to you.
All right.
Patrick, how do you stop it unraveling?
You squeeze the roll.
Squeeze the roll. Squeeze the Sherman, Bill.
When it gets down to the end of it, it gets, you know, very thin.
At what stage in the process do you squeeze the roll, though? Like, as soon as you take it out
you don't take it off. Just flatten the roll.
So yeah?
Instead of being round now, it's flattened, and it, like, literally goes patak, patak, patak. It won't unravel.
Right, so it's not a round tubular thing anymore that will just roll freely.
Right.
You kind of smash the roll so it stays on there.
I never thought of that. I'll try that. And that what's the noise again? Do the noise.
Pick it out. Pick it out. Pick it out.
Yeah, I've heard that noise. All right.
Perfect. Thank you, Patrick.
Patonk, patonk, patonk. Like that? I've heard that.
Isn't he an actor? Mandy Patonk.
Mandy Patonk, patonk, patonkin. Yep.
All right.
He's on Homeland.
Hi, Phyllis.
Hi. I heard once that to do it over is positive and under is negative.
Who said that? That can't be right.
I did. That would make sense because I go under.
Oh. So a more positive-minded person would do the role one way, but a more negative-minded person the other?
Mine is always over.
Oh, that's good news. All right.
Well, your toilet bowl is always half full, too.
You should write fortune cookies, Wendy.
Phyllis, have a great weekend.
Thank you.
We were talking about Mr. Whipple.
Yes.
I don't know why I thought he was
Dick
Mr.
Smith, by the way. That was the man who played Mr. Whipple.
Jeff?
On TV, sure. Not in the Broadway version.
Yeah. Mr. Whipple was also the drunk on Bewitched.
Yes, he was.
So it was weird to see him.
If you squeeze the Sherman, then you figure, I'm not going to squeeze the Sherman because then I'll go to... He'll go get drunk that night.
Right. That's right.
And also, the toilet paper should go over, because if it's got flowers or jokes on it, you can't read them if it's on the inside.
All right. I take it you have flowers or jokes on your toilet paper? What, did they make Dixie Riddle Rolls?
Actually, I heard that on Brandmeier one time years and years ago.
Oh,
way to recycle this joke, Jeff.
But Mr. Whipple, you know, poor guy.
I gotta tell you, Jeff, have a great weekend and enjoy your National Toilet Paper Day.
Good for him, though, the actor Dick Smith, that he found other work, because even though I'm sure it was very lucrative to play the role of Mr. Whipple, I'm not positive it was that much of a challenge, right?
It was not.
To do that for 15 or so years, to just tell people to stop touching toilet paper in a store, that'd make you crazy. No wonder he was drinking on Bewitched.
He had to do it.
Yeah.
It was driving him crazy. Yeah. All right. Thank you very much for all the toilet paper talk. We appreciate it. I hope you spend today enjoying your National Toilet Paper Day. But I want to mention something that is coming up on Sunday.
What is it?
It's Go Topless Day.
Oh, is that this Sunday? Yeah.
Yes. So National Toilet Paper Day today on Sunday. It's Go Topless Day.
Yeah.
Sunday, August 28th. You can hashtag free the nipple.
Yeah.
If you're going to go to this event. The national annual event takes issues with cities that enforce laws against women exposing their nipples, but they have no problem with men doing the same thing.
Right.
Chicago is one of these places. So last year, the city filed a motion to dismiss a federal lawsuit over the right of women to go topless in Chicago. This was according to the Chicago Tribune. The lawsuit was filed on behalf of Sunoko Tagami, who is a passionate supporter of Go Topless Day.
Is Sunoko a man or a woman? Does it say?
I would imagine a woman.
I would hope a woman, yeah. Because most guys would vote for this. Most guys would be like, yeah, let's do that.
It's a woman because men can expose their nipples,
right,
but women can't.
Right.
If you choose to go topless with other supporters, or not using a supporter, I guess,
yeah,
along the lakefront this year, you could be arrested, ticketed for indecent exposure, and ordered to pay more than $100 in fines.
Wow. That's steep.
This year's protest falls just 2 days after Women's Equality Day, which commemorates the anniversary of when women earned the right to vote. The event, if you choose to accept it and bare your nipples, would be head to North Avenue Beach, just north of the boathouse at 1 p.m. on Sunday.
Yeah. In New York, women are allowed to walk about without a top on. Did you know that in New York?
Did you click on one of those things that said the wacky laws that you won't believe are happening?
No, I remember there was some woman who spearheaded some sort of a campaign a couple years ago, and they won. So you can...
Whenever you want?
Yeah, because of it. I mean, it falls under equal rights for just the reason you mentioned. Enough women said, well, how come that guy can walk around without a shirt on and there's no problem, but I should have that same luxury afforded me, and they won. So... that goes on in New York every day.
Yeah, you're right. Topless in New York, the court case that makes going top-free legal.
Yeah.
So why don't you...
But still a problem here in Chicago.
Yeah.
For the time being.
But topless day, you can celebrate it. Head to North Avenue Beach, just north of the boathouse at 1 p.m. on Sunday. I have an idea where you're going to be at 1 p.m. on Sunday.
I will be at the boathouse at 1 p.m. on Sunday, fighting for everybody's rights. We'll take a quick break, and then a lot more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.